It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. Mark Millian is here from Business Week. Nathan Olivares Giles from The Wall Street Journal. And yeah, David Pogue. He's joining us from South by Southwest, where it's 96 degrees. We'll talk about the president's remarks at South by. We got a little gaming segment. We're talking a little bit about VR and the Game Developer Conference coming up next week. And, of course, the Apple event. It's going to be a great show. Stay tuned. Twit is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 553, recorded Sunday, March 13th, 2016, Android Nut Roll. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twit and entering the promo code TWIT. And by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect files on your computer or server with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it free without a credit card at carbonite.com today. And when you use the offer code TWIT, you'll get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. For a limited time, new customers can get a free trial and pay just $3 for shipping by going to harrys.com/twit. And by stamps.com. Use stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. That's stamps.com, offer code TWIT. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news with the best tech journalists out there. We'll start with Mark Millian from Bloomberg Business Week. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Leo.
Great to see you. Your new beat, you're now tech in charge of all tech coverage there.
No, but that would be nice.
Oh, no. Okay.
Brad Stone, actually, who is in charge
Brad.
Of all.
Yeah. Brad's great.
He's doing a great job. I am helping get our new startup capital team off the ground.
That's right. All right. And, of course, when there is a Mark Millian sighting, we usually see Nathan Olivares Giles from The Wall Street Journal. Good to see you.
Nice seeing you. Thanks for
Welcome.
Having me on. Thank you.
We're both dressed for rain, but David Pogue is dressed for 96-degree weather in Austin, Texas. From Yahoo Tech, David Pogue. Hi, David.
South by Southwest. Direct sunlight, man.
Wow.
On the roof of the W Hotel. We're the only place I could get a signal.
So you're outside in 96-degree weather?
Yes. I was trying to find a place where it would be quiet, and so they suggested the pool top rooftop area, and I'm in the corner because it's windy, so I'm trying to not be too noisy.
Your panel is right after the show today. What are you going to do?
This is a Yahoo OMD joint venture. I'll be interviewing a startup creator.
Oh, fun. That's great. South by, of course, starts with the interactive and film, and the music comes later in the week. How has it been so far? It started Friday, right?
You know, I just arrived 2 hours, so I couldn't tell you.
You didn't get to see the president.
I saw him on video.
Yeah. Actually, that's a big keynote for South by Southwest to have the president of the United States. I think that's got to be a first. He went to tell the techies visiting South by Southwest that we need them, that we need the tech community to get involved and help make government more efficient, more transparent. Great message, you know, and I think it resonated well. Unfortunately, all of that completely got superseded by one of the questions towards the end of his presentation. Somebody asked him about the Department of Justice versus Apple case. And, well, who wants to pick it up here? Why don't you pick it? You could pick it up if you want, Mark Millian. He said, we got to stop fetishizing. Boy, this is a mistake. Stop fetishizing smartphones, that they can't be allowed to be black boxes, and that the tech industry should work with the government to solve this.
That's right, yeah. Obviously he's going to side with law enforcement and with the federal government.
Well, that's not obvious, but I guess, he's the
president. I guess he has to.
They do ultimately report to him, so you'd hope the boss is on the same message as...
That's one thing that's interesting. It doesn't seem like the government is actually of one voice on this. The NSA is promoting strong encryption. The NSA says we need for security, we need end-to-end encryption everywhere. The FBI says we can't enforce the laws if we have it. So there isn't really kind of universal agreement in the government. David, where do you stand on all of this?
You know, I'm not sure I took away the same message from Obama's speech. So what I got from him was a typical Obama reasoned, measured effect. I heard him saying, let's not just slam the door and say neither one of us can move. Let's see if we can come up with a solution. And, I mean, I have to say there must be a solution. If all the posturing went away and this weren't being done in the public eye, I'll bet you they could come up with a solution. For example, I mean, I don't know the particulars of the software code, but suppose the FBI gave Apple the phone, said, don't create a backdoor. We don't need to have it. You're not going to give it out. But can you find the data on there for us? You know, help us hunt down a terrorist without sacrificing anybody else's privacy. I mean, it seems like there is a precedent for this, which is the warrant, right? If someone wants to search your home, they get a warrant by a judge who then says, okay, we need to search the home because we suspect you of something. So this idea of we need to pursue our investigation through your private area, it's not a new idea. And it seems like Obama's right in that there could be some compromise.
That was the point, the argument he was trying to make in that, you know, throughout the history of technology, there have been ways for the government to get access to things, whether it's, you know, going to AT&T and, you know, pulling information off of their servers from cell phone data, or whether it is having a backdoor within Skype or just about any other software out there. In the specific Apple case, what they're asking Apple to do is to create a special version of their operating system that only Apple has access to, and the government would be able to bring phones to Cupertino and say, install that version of your operating system on it so that we can brute force hack the passcode and get access to the phone. What Apple's saying is that if we do that, then, you know, somebody might hack our systems and get access to that software. And then, you know, they have a key to everyone's phone in the world.
Isn't it telling, though, that the FBI could do exactly what you say, David? They could say, well, just here's the phone. Just, in fact, that's what they used to do. Here's the phone. Just give us the data. But they chose not to. I think the FBI is very interested in establishing a precedent. And the precedent that worries me, the precedent they'd like to establish, is not Apple's going to help us open up this phone, but that we can compel, using the courts, a tech company to write custom firmware. And that is, I think, what their really long-term goal is. It's not about this phone. It's about getting a tech company to do this. I'll tell you why I disagree with you, David, and with the president. The president said you can't take – and he's a politician. And politics is the art of compromise, of negotiation. And, of course, from his point of view, there's always a negotiation that can go on. You can't take an absolute view on this, he says. If your argument is strong encryption no matter what, and we can and could create black boxes, I think that does not strike the kind of balance we've lived with for 200, 300 years. And it's fetishizing our phones above every other value. And I think he's missing the point. I understand that. That's a good political point of view, which is, no, we can, if we sit down, we can work this out. But it's not about politics. It's about math. And in my opinion, I think the technologists he's talking to probably are thinking the same thing. It's like the government saying, well, we don't like this 2 + 2 = 4 thing. Can we work it out? Can we compromise? Is there something we could do? Can we make it 4.5? Mm-hmm. Because the encryption exists. The math exists. There's nothing anybody can do about that. It's out there. It's done. In fact, there's a guy with a tattoo on his chest of strong encryption. There's T-shirts. And we've done this once before. The government said with munitions, or rather said that the strong encryption was like munitions. And in the mid-90s, you remember this, David, they said you cannot export strong encryption. So what happened? And we have history as a lesson here that apparently is not being paid attention to. What happened was Netscape said, all right, well, if you're going to insist on, we can't export 128-bit key encryption, we'll make 40-bit and it'll be in all our browsers. We can't make a separate browser for the U.S. and Russia. So we'll make one browser. It'll have 40-bit encryption. And here we are 20 years later the fact that 40-bit encryption was in that browser means we still have to support 48-bit encryption on websites. And it has become a real security problem to the point now where many companies like Google and Microsoft are trying to force this weak encryption off the internet. But it's hard to do. So this was an example of by legislative fiat, the government saying, well, you just can't have strong encryption. So what it does, it doesn't just break it for bad guys. In fact, it doesn't break it for bad guys because bad guys can access strong encryption. It's out there. It's easy. Everybody can do it. So all it does is it takes strong encryption away from normal users.
Yeah, and the government has argued that, you know, Apple is doing this for marketing reasons to protect its own business.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
In many ways, if this were the precedent that were set, that the government could go to an American company and say, you need to build this version of your phone so that we can get into it, that really does potentially put American technology companies at a disadvantage if people do prioritize security over all else. I mean, you know, a company like Xiaomi or, Blackphone or these non-American companies could get a potentially big boost from people who do prioritize their privacy. And then Apple and Google and the other companies would be at a disadvantage.
And the bad guy, it doesn't stop. If a bad guy wants to have private conversations, they could do it.
Yeah.
Nothing they could do about it.
Apple cited in the hearing was Telegram, which is this huge messaging service from the creator of the Facebook of Russia. That has very strong encryption, is used like throughout ISIS's organization. You can't go to them and tell them to build a version of their software that the FBI can have access to. They're not going to listen.
Well, and here's the real problem right now is WhatsApp. Forget, the iPhone. WhatsApp is being used. It has strong encryption. It's owned by Facebook. Facebook acquired it. And it is not, it's invisible to law enforcement. You can use WhatsApp for crying out loud, free app out there. And there are lots of others. There's Wire just got updated. It's a Swiss company. It's using OTR, strong public key crypto. It's open source. How are you going to stop that?
You know, it seems to me part of the problem is that there are so many conflated issues to argue about. In other words, are we arguing about being spied on? Are we arguing about the government pressuring a private company, commercial company, to bend its ways? Are we arguing about the San Bernardino terrorist? Let me ask you, Leo, if there were such a solution whereby no innocent individuals could have their phones broken into, but only bad guys or suspected bad guys, so that all the other issues of this go away, would that be satisfactory?
Oh, yeah, of course.
But so you're not saying even terrorists should have their privacy?
Well, I'm saying you cannot limit terrorists' privacy without breaking it for everyone. That's the real problem. And I understand. Look, there's a longstanding tradition, and this is a tradition we all have to support. This is what makes society works, that if a court, based on reasonable cause, orders a search of your home, that's legal and proper, and law enforcement can do that. And in fact, there is, up till now, there's only been, we talked about this last week, one place in the whole world that was protected, and that was your brain. The courts have held that the one place law enforcement can't force, you cannot be forced to testify against yourself. You could be forced to give a fingerprint, a hair, but you cannot be forced to divulge the contents of your brain. Courts have already said this. We're going to mark this out as a private space. The problem is, so that's why I'm saying it's not a political negotiation, because of course you should be able to, with a lawful warrant, search anything. That's, what our nation's based on. The problem is it's too late. Encryption exists. And you can tell Apple not to encrypt iPhones, but it doesn't mean that somebody can't use then WhatsApp on their iPhone.
Yeah, part of what bothers me about the analogy with, regular warrants and searching your home is if law enforcement wants to come into my home and search what I have access to that warrant. I can know about it. I can get a copy of it. I can take it to my legal team. With all that we've seen from what the NSA has been doing on, spying, like, we don't know when they're asking tech companies already for our information.
Right.
And that's already been happening. Like, that is already a precedent, right? So if we're talking about now breaking encryption to getting into these sorts of devices. Of course, the San Bernardino shooter is the example everyone's talking about right now. It's at the center of it, but in no situation is that where this would end at all. There's already been hundreds of requests that are similar, and there's even dozens, I think, from like the Attorney General or something like that.
And even in this interview at South by Southwest, Obama like expanded the scope of what we're talking about here outside of San Bernardino. He also brought up the example of enforcing tax, IRS taxes. He was like, everybody shouldn't have a Swiss bank account in their pockets. And so that already suggests how far does this go? Let's say I don't report like my Amazon purchases on my tax return. Can they then like access my phone data to see that I purchased some stuff from Amazon and then
I like your hypothetical, but do you think that that's possible?
I just wanted to clarify what we were arguing about, because I know there are people on the internet who say, no access to anybody anytime. It doesn't matter if I have child porn. It doesn't matter if I'm a terrorist. It's the principle of the thing. So I was just trying to peg where you are.
Yeah, and I'm kind of standing back from that argument. I'm also not anti-government, which a lot of, I think, technologists just don't like the idea of government at all and think privacy should be universal and so forth. But it doesn't even matter. What I'm saying is, yeah, you can have different points of view on that, but I think it doesn't matter at this point. Somebody will make a strong encrypted phone. It won't be a United States company, I guess. Somebody has already made many messaging programs that are completely secure. Telegram is actually a poor choice because it's using its own roll-your-own encryption, which is easily broken, apparently. But there are other systems. You've got to figure that the government also is – this is a little bit of a specious argument from the government, because they've even said, well, we're not too worried. You've got the Internet of Things coming. You're going to be putting 20 things in your house that that we can use to spy on you at any time. Remember that Harvard Berkman Law Center study called Going Dark, which really concluded, and so a lot of good people on that there's no problem with going dark. Mm-hmm. So I think law enforcement is not – I think what they're seeking is some pretty broad ability to compel tech companies to rewrite their firmware to their benefit. And they may get it. I wouldn't be surprised if they got it. And I think President Obama's right to say that this – we should resolve this before it gets to Congress, because Congress probably isn't going to write the good law.
I'm really also concerned about what we do here in the United States, what this will mean for other countries. I mean, I know China's watching it closely. That's something that we've covered a lot at the Journal. And there's questions about, how far the United States gets in its ability to compel tech companies to essentially create software for them to help them in their pursuits. What will that mean when China asks the same sort of thing? And then there's also been this WhatsApp executive in Brazil who was, arrested, I think, for like only a day. But nonetheless, he was arrested because WhatsApp wasn't able to turn over some data
that
the government requested. And the company argued, well, the data doesn't exist. We can't give you what doesn't
exist.
We
don't have it.
But there's a fundamental misunderstanding on the side of the government as to what exists and what is possible and what is new. And what's there or isn't. And, this guy got thrown in jail for it.
I think it's kind of unfortunate, because I really do feel like the president went to South by with a strong message, which was, let's get the tech community working with government to make government more efficient, more responsive. But it's gotten completely overwhelmed. You had to move, David. Are you okay now?
A hotel employee needed to...
sweep?
Make some adjustments, but I'm persuaded to let him stay.
He's like, I got to clean this concrete block behind you. It's just too gray. I just got
to... David insists he's in a hotel. We're pretty sure he's in actually the Austin City Jail, and I'm not...
He said it was time for the other prisoners to have a... yeah.
You've been in the yard too long, huh?
It's an argument we've been talking about since this news broke weeks ago, and it's probably we've dealt it to death ad nauseum. But I was a little disappointed. I feel like the president, I understand he's a politician. He's going to expect a political solution to this. Yeah. But I think he doesn't understand that it's not a question at this point of a political solution. There isn't. There's the math. And the math is not, unfortunately, tractable.
How do you guys think it's going to turn out? What if a judge says, Apple, you lose? Like, what are they going to do? Put 13,000 employees in jail?
That will almost certainly happen. Yeah, I wonder what happens. Okay, so let's say it goes to the Supreme Court. It'll go to the Supreme Court no matter what. If Apple wins, if Apple loses, somebody, whoever loses is going to appeal. It'll end up in the Supreme Court. If they take it, and let's say they rule against Apple, who goes to jail? Tim Cook? Who goes to jail? I think Apple complies is what happens.
Yeah,
I think Apple doesn't want to comply, but I think Apple, if it was a, you know, if it's a court order and they've appealed it all the way and they lost, I think Apple complies. Mm-hmm. They're not an unlawful company, but I think ultimately this shouldn't be decided by the courts. This should be decided by Congress. Unfortunately, Congress is going to almost undoubtedly do the wrong thing. But they've been asked before. CALEA is the template for this. The Assistance to Law Enforcement Act that Congress passed in the 90s that said telecom companies like AT&T must cooperate with law enforcement. That's why there's a secret room in AT&T in San Francisco because of CALEA. There have been attempts to pass a CALEA for digital providers that have failed so far. I suspect we'll see an attempt, a CALEA 3, in Congress. And then... let's play this out. It's the scenario you kind of talked about, Nate, where, okay, now any company that wants to do business in the United States has to sell broken encryption.
Yep.
And if you want, and if you're a bad guy, then you just go buy the black phone.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, I think it would put us at a bit of a disadvantage. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that the government itself is doing this in such a public way. And, you know, trying to put fire under Apple for this because, I mean, of all the resources that they have, of all the brilliant people in the world, they can't figure this out on their own. They're very publicly saying Apple needs to do this for us. And the fact of the matter is Apple doesn't just belong to the United States. Google doesn't just belong to the United States. Right. Like, these are global companies. That have their own, you know, whether we like it or not, political and social power, and their own influence all over the world. And these other governments are going to come at these companies in similar ways. So we might like it right now because, you know, the United States government is trying to get its own thing. But when it spreads and this becomes the norm and the practice, then there are flawed products out there for everybody. And the simple fact, I think, is that new technologies will be developed, and there will be new secret ways for people to share what they need to share and to communicate. And it'll, you know, the bar will just always be moved. So, you know, I think it's a little bit defeatist. I think it's a little bit short-sighted. It's definitely not just about the San Bernardino shooter's phone, but it's about, I think, changing the expectation that we have as consumers for what we have in our pockets. Right now, you can see encryption as being something that leads you to being safe and private. But they're removing that expectation of privacy in a way, or they want to, I think. I think the government wants to remove that expectation of privacy in a way that mirrors some of the state-backed companies and technologies that you do see in countries like China.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy a Huawei phone in China, you got to presume that Chinese government can.
Yeah, and but that's the thing. That is the outset is well, it's not private anyway. So why would you, you know, share or do certain things?
Yeah, and I agree with the president. We shouldn't. There's nothing particularly special about a smartphone that it, you know, has to.
It's not even about
protected.
The phone. It's about
it's
the
not
technology.
What we're talking about. It's about the tech. It's about encryption in general.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, sitting in the back of my head through all of this, I think it was Jeffrey Fowler of the Wall Street Journal who did this great column that I never saw coming. I didn't even think about this, but Google and Apple, or competitors in some way, have a very different approach toward privacy. Apple is trying to make more and more with every month about how little of your data it maintains, about how few connections there are between its various apps. Google, on the other hand, is like, oh yeah, we know where you go, we know your email, we know your money, we know your phone. Now we have our Nest thermostats knowing when you're home. You know, and they create products that exploit all this data in really clever ways. You know, so when you are using Google Maps and you start typing in an address, I have to type in like two letters of the street.
And it knows exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
How does it know that? I haven't typed it in before. Well, it's because it also has access to my Gmail and to my calendar. You know, it can give us things in exchange for this data. And Fowler was saying Apple is hog-tying itself by saying, oh, no, we're all about privacy.
Right.
We're never going to make those connections. So what's curious about all this is the timing. So Apple's big marketing push, and I'm on the receiving end of PR missives about this all the time. There's a new Apple product, they're like, and by the way, we don't maintain any of your data. They're trying to make it a sales point. They are. And so in some ways, that's in the back of my head through all of Tim Cook's protestations about this privacy thing. They're making a big public stink about just how seriously Apple takes privacy as a competitive advantage.
Well, and there's some merit to the Department of Justice saying, see, Apple's using this as a marketing opportunity. That there is some merit to that. It is a valuable marketing opportunity. I think it's a little bit of a misrepresentation because we know, for instance, that Apple could have, they even said, well, if Farouk had backed up his iPhone to the cloud, we could have given that to the FBI. Yeah. So Apple has access to all this stuff. They choose not to mine it for information as Google does. Ironically, my Nexus 6P, which is encrypted by default, can be protected with a strong password that Google couldn't write a backdoor to. I mean, this is as encrypted as an iPhone and doesn't have that kind of weak four-digit or six-digit unlock if I don't want it to. But at the same time, any device you use, and this is why I worry, if the Department of Justice or anybody can compel a company to write custom firmware for that device, there's nothing we have in computing that can't be cracked and opened.
True.
I mean, Google could push firmware onto an Android device that would give them access to all the data on that Android device as well. So that's the real, I think that's the real risk. And I do unfortunately think that that's the precedent the government wants to establish is, you know, in the pursuit of law enforcement under a court order, we should be able to get custom firmware written for any device so that we can see what's on that device.
Yeah.
In fact, while you're at it, why not just give us that firmware so we could just put it on there as necessary? That way we don't have to keep bothering you.
Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate. That's the end game.
But in some ways, I wonder why we're getting so, you know, hepped up over this issue on our smartphones. There are so many other realms where we're routinely being data harvested.
Exactly.
I mean, how do you know that Verizon isn't listening into every cell phone call you make or looking at your records? How do you know your grocery store isn't saying, oh, loading up on the Entenmann's pastries a bit this month, aren't you, Leo? Or how do you know Visa and MasterCard aren't, you know, perusing your credit card statements? They're all around us are things that we could be getting worried and upset about. And every time a reader says, you know, this really bothers me about my privacy, I'm like, if you're going to be paranoid, be rational about it.
Yeah.
You have much bigger fields to plow.
We'll get real paranoid because, frankly, you have no privacy. And that was
that's true.
That's right.
Really.
That's true.
In fact, you used as an example Verizon. Verizon, of course, is putting super cookies on all the web traffic from Verizon customers for a couple of years. They got in trouble with the FCC. The FCC is now fining Verizon the amazingly huge amount of $1.35 million.
And they're going to keep using the super cookies.
Of course they are. Anyways. So Steve Gibson pointed out Verizon would happily pay that every year for permission. Because that's how much they're making more than that from the people they sell that information to. It's a kind of a sad fine, to be honest with you. It's a slap on the wrist, you know. And unfortunately, the super cookie will continue. The FCC has said that you have to be clear that you're doing it to Verizon and you have to have an opt-out. But, you know, here's the truth. I bet you notice this, David. People don't really care.
No, and it's also really, really generational. I mean, younger, the millennials are like, you're going to give me a free service in exchange for my data?
Good. Like, good deal.
Like traffic speeds on Google Maps?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
It's just their parents. It's just us old guys who still have one toe in the privacy thing. It really is so generational that we're going to die out and the incoming generation will be not nearly as concerned.
I think you're kind of correct on that. You're kind of correct.
You're a millennial.
I am a millennial, as a matter of fact.
I'm surrounded by millennials,
so
David.
Smart. But I mean, honestly, I think
this is a
coup. We're taking over slowly.
Please
but surely.
Do, would you? I'm old and tired.
But the fact of the matter is, I think that it is really easy to point to people, millennial or older or younger, and say, you know, hey, well, you don't care about privacy. You like just getting free stuff. You like the advantages of Google Maps. I think there is a fundamental misunderstanding of how this technology works and what we're giving up in trade for those services. So, you know, the first time that someone signs up for a Google account or a Facebook account, maybe nowadays they're, you know, in middle school or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they really have an understanding of what data they're giving away?
No.
And as you live your life, I mean, you yourself, Pogue, you just said that, you know, you're looking at these people and you're getting these frustrated reader comments and they don't understand they're being paranoid. I think you, myself, Mark, all of us as journalists need to do a better job of explaining what the hell people are giving away. And we don't do a good job of that. Most detector
I bet, because people don't really care. People glaze
over. Do they
over.
Not really care?
I think people glaze over.
If people didn't care, why would Edward Snowden be a household name today?
That's true.
Why would we care about the NSA issues? Why was Edward Snowden the keynote speaker last year at South by Southwest before Obama was this year? It wasn't a mistake the president rolled through and happened to be talking about these things right as the FBI is suing Apple.
But people, I think people know that Facebook sells their information. That's how Facebook makes money, and they gladly hand all that information over.
They do in an abstract. It's like, well, they know what I like, and they know who my friends are, and they know how old I am. So
they don't really understand the pervasiveness.
Exactly, exactly.
Here's a report from a company, a group called Upturn, and this is a report they put out for policymakers in Washington, D.C., what ISPs can see, clarifying the technical landscape of the broadband privacy debate. And the takeaways are, you know, I mean, I'd love to see this published in the Wall Street Journal or the Bloomberg Business Week or in Yahoo Tech. Truly pervasive encryption on the internet is still a long way off. 86% of health sites do not encrypt browsing. 86%, 90% of news and 86% of shopping. And your ISP can see right into that. Internet of Things devices often transmit data without encryption. Most people are using messaging apps that are not encrypted by default. Mm-hmm. I guess Apple's is, but that's just they use it because that's by default, and that's what Apple's kind of made their name. But even with HTTPS, ISPs can still see the domains their subscribers visit, so they can collect where you're going and what you're doing.
It's all there.
Your ISP knows a huge... I often tell people this on the radio show. What are you worried about, Google and Apple? Your ISP is the expert in what the hell you're doing on the internet.
Yeah. And they are already cooperating with the government.
And they're gladly. In fact, remember Carnivore, which was a big to-do mostly because of the name. This was the box the FBI was going to require all ISPs put into their network operations center to keep track of what their users were doing and keep track of it for 2 years just in case. Just in case the FBI wanted to investigate them.
You think they're really only holding on to that for 2 years?
Well, they changed the name, but basically the rules are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Carnivore was maybe not a good name. So now... So they decided to do something else. But basically that surveillance, ISPs are required or strongly encouraged to keep 18 months of data.
Yeah.
And they know everything. And they're handing it over.
To answer your question, Nathan, I think there's also a big audience question about the coverage of all of this stuff. Here we are, you know, four men in the tech industry, all tech writers, you know, sitting here discussing what we think the masses feel about privacy and the trade-offs. I mean, we're not most people. We're the echo chamber of the, you know, technogencia or whatever. I think Edward Snowden freaks out the masses because it was said that they could see where we go on the internet. People suddenly were like, wait, the NSA knows what porn sites I go to? Now, that would freak out everybody.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think they care what they say on their phones or what address they put into Google Maps. I think many younger people say, I don't care about that stuff.
I think young. I think your generation has given up.
I don't. I genuinely don't.
If I were you. Surrender.
I mean, and you know what? Pogue brings up a good point.
Mr. Pogue if you will.
Oh, Dave.
Is he allowed to call you David?
That's inmate Dave.
What is your prison nickname, by the way? Is it like Scar by now, or what is it? I guess glass half full, glass half empty, all that stuff. I mean, I look at the sort of things like, people teaming up online and, you know, trying to do things for net neutrality and the movement around that.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the reaction to all the NSA stuff. I look at popular culture shows like Mr. Robot and things like that.
Mr. Robot was a great example of people really getting some real information.
Yeah, I mean, this is in the national dialogue, whether we like it or not. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt and say that if they really knew what was happening,
they would care.
They would care because when I've seen examples of them being enlightened to what is happened, people seem to care.
Yeah,
and people have lots of questions for me, whether it's my aunts and uncles, or whether it's my middle school cousins or my peers at publications, some of whom are millennials and some of whom aren't. So I think it's just like that city hall reporter where no one reads the work that they do, and that local newspaper is wondering why they're even have that person at those meetings, and then as soon as the corruption comes out, suddenly people care. In the LA Times, we had a situation. I used to work there years ago, where they won a Pulitzer for exposing corruption in this small city called Bell. Yeah. And it was in South LA, and no one cared about Bell. Right. But then once the explosion was corrupted, people started caring and talking about it.
Yeah.
I think right now we have a situation where it's easy to say no one cares about privacy and all of these things, but it's in the national conversation. It's in popular culture. We're talking about it whether we like it or not. I think as journalists, as media, the whole fifth estate concept that we're here to...
It's our job.
It's our job. So give them the information. Now...
Don't you think they feel helpless, though, when given that information? It's like, I don't like it, but what am I going to do about it?
Well, the gadget reviewer, like David Pogue, I write some reviews from time to time, like myself. Part of our job is to do that service journalism, to show them how to use these things and how to react and how to handle it.
David, right? That's why you started Yahoo Tech, was to talk to real people about technology.
Yeah,
right?
And I can tell you, we routinely started out, we thought we would be with the zeitgeist. We had our thumbs on the pulse of the populace, and we did stories on how to set up encryption on both ends and how to get a completely anonymous web browsing experience. And we did, how to not leave tracks. We would run these stories, and guess how many people clicked on them?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's us that cares. It's not.
It's interesting because on the radio, and I'm dealing again with, okay, we're all just tech elite here, right? The unwashed masses, where I'm dealing with normal people. And I don't spend a lot of time trying to explain how to be safe. I talk about how to be safe, but how to be encrypted or private. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mostly what I do is I say, you're not. And so you shouldn't put it on Facebook if you don't want somebody to see it. It would be a mistake to assume you're communicating privately.
Yeah.
Unless you really take the time and the effort to. And that's the irony of all this. If you're up to no good, your likelihood of being interested in this is much higher than if you're just a normal person.
I think that's the people don't seem to really understand the consequences of. I mean, they think from a. I think a lot of people think from a almost like a 1984 like police state mindset where it's like, I'm not doing anything bad.
Right? Yeah. Why should I worry?
Yeah.
And they'll be able to catch the people who are doing bad things. I think a lot of people feel that way, but that's not really what this country was founded on. That's why I think it's, people who do care about history and about civil liberties get fired up about this stuff because they understand the differences between, our country and China or Germany 60 years ago.
Right.
Yep.
Well, one of the differences is that we have the rule of law, that we have a court system that protects, is supposed to, and I think does for the most part protect individuals' rights while giving law enforcement the tools they need to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a good thing. I think that's one of the strengths of this country is the rule of law. It's one of the real foundations of America's greatness. I also feel like this is unfortunately kind of moot at this point because of the ability to use strong encryption, and any attempt to undermine strong encryption is misguided. But it's a difficult, I think it's a technical argument almost.
Yeah.
And it may be that that's not an argument politicians will ever understand. They don't ever want to say, oh, well, 2 + 2 = 4 always, no matter what I think. They would like it to be negotiable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. David Pogue is here from somewhere in Austin.
Austin Penitentiary.
It's so nice to have. It's so great to see you. Everything going well. Now, wait a minute, David. Though, did they close down? Did Yahoo close down the separate tech channel, or are you now just folded into general coverage? Or what's the latest? On that?
They shut down a few of the digital magazines, like food and travel. So far, they haven't shut down Yahoo Tech. So we're still soldiering on.
Good. Because I think you did a great job there, and it's a really great site. I'm glad to hear that it's not been subsumed.
Well, thank you, good sir.
Yeah. David's at South By for his panel coming up about startups coming up right after this show. So if you're in Austin, rush over there, wherever there is. I'm sure you have a guide. You can find it. Are you going to leave right after your panel, or are you going to stick around for a little bit and have some party time?
Oh, my God. This is just absurd. So this is a Yahoo OMD-based sponsored panel at 7 tonight. And then tomorrow morning I'm speaking in San Diego. And then the next day I'm back at South By for another panel.
What?
Wow.
So David.
I'm a big yo-yo horizontally across the country.
Oh, man. Well, I'm really glad we could borrow a little bit of your time this afternoon. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Also with us from the Wall Street Journal, Nathan Olivares Giles. Always great to have you.
Always a pleasure.
Get the millennial point of view in here, you young people. And Mark Millian. I guess you guys met at the LA Times, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was that story, what was the HBO show that was based on the corrupted little city?
Well, there's The Wire in Baltimore, but then there's also Show Me a Hero, which was in New York.
No, there's the new one. I can't remember.
Yonkers, right?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if it was based on the LA Times story, because it's about an LA city that's so corrupt that this is not...
True Detective.
True Detective, the second season.
Yeah, that was not based on Bell, no.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't. But
it was Vichy.
It
reminded me a little of Bell.
Yeah, a little bit of Bell, a little bit of the City of Industry, which is another city down there. Yeah.
That's right, True Detective.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard any connections to Bell directly, but I'm sure they must have had some sort of inspiration there.
Mark's currently at Bloomberg Business Week, and it's great to have all three of you. Our show today brought to you by Casper Mattress. And you know what's great? It comes in a very compact box. They can just bring it right back to you. You open it up. And in fact, here's mine, Casper Mattress. This is a queen-size mattress in a very small box. You open it up, the mattress opens up, smells great, feels great. It's a combination of latex and memory foam that eliminates the negatives of those and brings you all the positives. So you get this beautiful, firm mattress with a supple top that breathes, man. And that's one thing. I had a memory foam mattress. I didn't like it because it didn't breathe. This breathes. Oh, and is it comfy? It's cool throughout the night. And the nice thing is you buy this online, which saves you a lot of money because they don't have a middleman. They don't have resellers. They don't have showrooms. And you might say, well, wait, I want to sleep on it before I commit. You can. You have 100 days. Buying online is completely risk-free. Casper will give you free delivery. You sleep on that mattress for up to 100 days or 100 nights, I guess. And if you don't like it, anytime in the first 100 nights, you call them up. The courier will come. They'll take it away, refund you every penny. It is lovely. It's so nice. A good night's sleep, we're really learning, is an important, critical portion of health and wellness and state of mind. While you're there, check out Casper's pillows. I have Casper pillows, too. I love them. Another kind of dual layer pillow that is... get the king size because it's like a body pillow and you just wrap yourself around it. Casper's mattresses and pillows made in the USA and very affordable. They start at $500 for a twin, but I'm going to make it even better when you go to Casper, CASPER.com/twit and use our offer code twit. You'll get $50 off. Some terms and conditions apply. For details, visit Casper.com/terms. Casper.com/twit for the deal. Casper mattresses. You're going to love them. David, did you get a Galaxy S7 yet?
I have not. My reporter colleague, Daniel Howley, reviewed it.
Yeah. I'm looking at his review. And, in fact, you got a great lineup of pictures, iPhone 6 versus Galaxy S7. I've had the Galaxy S7 for a couple of weeks now. I have to say, the best camera ever.
He loves it. The low-light stuff is amazing.
Unbelievable. And of course, it makes me interested in what Apple does in the fall with the 7, but the iPhone 7. But I think the S7 is just finally an Android phone. Battery life is great.
Isn't it weird that they took away the waterproof and the memory card and then brought them back a generation later?
I guess they listened, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But was that a marketing strategy or something?
No, they made a mistake.
We're out of new ideas, so let's start taking the features out.
They made a mistake, apparently, which I didn't realize. A lot of people drop their phones in toilets.
Would you want to use it after?
You rinse it off. It's $800. You would want to use it after. Mm-hmm. These are expensive phones. Incidentally, this phone is extremely fragile and it's slippery like a fish.
You have a crack on the back.
I dropped it, and look at the crack.
Brutal.
Because it's like a little fish in your hand. It's like a little sardine. But boy, you got to admit, even with a crack, it is so pretty, and the edge screen.
Yeah,
and,
I really like that.
But isn't that slippery? Because it's all glass.
Yeah.
It's like I find the same with the iPhone 6.
Say it was very much, same problem.
I bought this, $5 thing off of Amazon that is nothing but a grip layer. That's all it does to stop me from dropping it.
I wish I had a grip layer. I needed a grip layer, but this was so new that there were no cases. In fact, I'm still waiting for my case to come, so that's why.
A little too late.
A little too late. It also is a fingerprint magnet, but man. Very,
just cover
very
the back
happy.
With rubber cement. That'll work great.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Well, I'll put it in a case, and then I won't have any issues with it.
I have the answer to our trivia question from before the break.
What was our trivia question?
True Detective Season 2 is based on the city of Vernon, California.
There you go.
Another great
city of corruption that happens to border on the city of Bell.
Awesome.
In Southeast LA.
So Vichy was Vernon.
Awesome.
Vernon.
I love LA. I really
do. What's funny is for those of us who aren't from LA, we just think of it as LA.
Yeah.
But really, it's a bunch of fiefdoms. It's like Italy.
Yes.
It's not one. There's no one Italy. It's like all these little places. And it's the same thing with LA. There's no one LA.
It's true.
People from Santa Monica don't talk to people from Compton. The people from Compton stay away from the people in the Venice Beach. And the Venice Beach people are too high to care. So it all works out. Just great. I don't know. I don't know LA very well. It's funny. I've been on the radio in LA since 2004, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't. Yeah.
I mean, no. Thank you. Thank you. That's the nicest thing.
It's kind of like how there are some people from San Francisco who don't go to Oakland and vice versa.
Right.
I'm one of those guys who goes everywhere. I would go all over LA. I go all over the Bay Area.
Good for you.
I'm always trying to get my friends in San Francisco to go out to Oakland with me. It's tough, but, I was in
Berkeley. That's kind of like Oakland.
I love Berkeley. I love Berkeley. It's Berkeley is like the Santa Monica of Oakland almost.
It is. Yeah. Berkeley is the Santa Monica of Oakland.
Who'd you see?
We saw the Mark Morris Dance Company performing a dance to a Handel Oratorio. Next week we're seeing Hamilton. Have you seen Hamilton, David?
I have not. Tickets are sold out for like the next year and a half.
Broadway composer, don't you have connections?
I do. I haven't pursued them, but maybe I should.
You're a nice guy. You're not going to say, "Don't you know who I am?" I have connections. I gave them a lot of Hamiltons. And that worked. A couple of Franklins in there as well, I believe. it's good. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to see it. So, I will be leaving right after the Apple event, flying to New York City. But the Apple event is the invitations have gone out.
Mm-hmm.
March 21st, Apple uncharacteristically, a whole 2 weeks before the event. David, did you get your invite?
I did.
Oh, what a shock.
It was going to be 1 week before the event because this is, as you may know, delayed from the original date.
Yeah, so you that's what the rumor said. Why do you think it was delayed?
Oh, I'm sure some manufacturing hiccup. You know, that stuff goes on all the time.
You don't
time.
Think it has to do with the fact that the day after the Apple event, the court will rule on the FBI lawsuit?
Oh!
I thought this is... Yeah, very conspiracy-minded. But here's my... It's complete BS, I know. But I think Tim Cook thought, hey, what we could do is we could have a really big event, get a lot of goodwill for Apple. I could address the issue on stage, and then win or lose tomorrow, we'll have had our moment in the sun. You don't want to have it afterwards, mm-hmm. and you don't want to have it too far ahead. Why not write the day before?
Leo, that's great.
So you're being invited back again now?
No, I'm not. I am totally persona non grata there. I don't know what I did.
Oh, I thought you said you're going to be there.
No. I'll be watching it from afar.
Oh, I see. Oh, you
No. I meant Tim Cook. I was speaking in. I was pretending I was Tim Cook. I do that sometimes.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I can see the resemblance.
I roll in the money. Yeah. No, so what are we going to see? We're going to see an iPhone. This is rumors, of course. Apple doesn't say. But you all are pretty well connected. iPhone SE, which will be a 4-inch iPhone based on the iPhone 6 platform. So it won't have Force Touch. Will it have 3D Touch? No.
I feel like if they don't put 3D Touch in it.
They have to.
They have to.
That's the new interface.
If you want people to see this phone as equal to the 6 and 6S and the eventually 7 or whatever, but just in a smaller size, you can't leave out what is, you know, the most cutting edge
signature feature.
Even if it's not, you know, the most useful.
Yeah. Do you use it?
I do use it.
I always forget.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten used to using it. But
David, do you press hard on your screen sometimes?
Believe it or not, I don't have a 6S. I have a corporate issued 6. So,
well,
I don't press on my screen.
You don't press on your screen. And if you did, it would be fruitless. Actually, I press on my laptop screen all the time, and all I get is dents. It's very depressing. It's not good. So the iPhone SE, which is not necessarily a low-cost iPhone, but a small iPhone. Uh-huh. That's really the thing.
Yeah, which is smart. I mean, there are so many people who miss the small. My wife is still using a 5S because she's like, she has small hands. She's like, I'm not getting that big phone. I'm not doing it. Meanwhile, her signal strength isn't as good as mine. Her camera's not as good as mine. So people like that will be very happy. And they've already gone big, right? So this is the only other direction they can go to expand the market.
It makes sense. I mean, they have 3 iPad sizes now, 3 phone sizes. Like, why not, you know, if the demand's there?
7 days, 19 hours, 10 minutes, and 7 seconds from now, we'll find out. Can you believe the Guardian? Oh, this is the Telegraph.
So much suspense. Really?
The Telegraph has a countdown timer on their website. That's crazy. They're not even in the U.S. That's crazy. So it's funny. Nate said, well, you got a computer I could use? I said, well, what do you want? He said, you don't happen to have an iPad Pro lying around. And I did.
It was my request.
So that would be your preferred platform?
You know, I've been using one, and I actually do like it. You know, it's
is
not
it the size that you like.
I guess it's the size, and that it's just, you know, really light. This keyboard case is still kind of awkward once you hold it up.
The pencil, you use that?
Yeah, I do. I like to draw. I do like the pencil.
So that's the other rumor, is that there will be a new iPad. They didn't announce one in the fall, but it won't be an iPad Air 3 or 4 or whatever the next one is. It will be an iPad, a little iPad Pro.
I'd like that.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I kind of wish the pencil worked on the iPad mini that I have.
Yeah, you know? Don't you?
Yeah, it's like little portable kind of thing. But I mean, when you're doing real work, you still need a laptop. That's just the fact of the matter.
I know. They tried to push this as a laptop replacement.
Well, if all you're doing is writing and checking email, this is great.
Right.
That's awesome. But that's not all I do. Sometimes I want to edit videos. Sometimes I'm editing photos. Sometimes I need, you know, actual real robust software. I think it could get there, but, you know, it's early days.
David, what else?
I've also heard,
do you think?
I'm also hearing maybe a refresh of the watch, and I think something not a lot of people are talking about, but I have read a refresh of the 12-inch MacBook, which would be really good. There's so many cool things about it, but just too slow to do anything with.
I love my MacBook. I love how thin it is, how light it is.
Display.
The screen is great. It's a Retina display.
I like the keyboard.
12 inches is just right. Now, you're unusual in that. Because a lot of people complain about the keyboard. Very little travel on the keys.
Yeah, I like it.
You're competent with it.
Yeah, I'm cool.
I do a lot of typos on my MacBook, but it is my Mac of choice. I really like that MacBook. Right. So what would you do? Would you make it faster, David? Is that what you would do?
I would make it faster. I wouldn't mind another USB-C jack.
On the other side. That's what Google did with the Pixel. Mm-hmm. Left side and right side. That way you could power and then connect or whatever.
Yeah, speed is definitely an issue.
Oh, you've got one.
Yeah.
No, that's not a MacBook.
Yeah, this is the new MacBook, whatever, the one with the single USB-C port.
I've never seen a gray one. All of mine are gold.
Oh, yeah, they do gold, silver, and gray.
All of mine?
Yeah, no.
I only buy gold. I only buy gold things now. I even got the rose gold iPhone. I don't know why. I think it's age. I also have plastic covers on my furniture at home. Is that strange? Is that weird?
A little bit.
Weird? Yeah. I've literally never seen a gray one.
I like the look of it.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah. Very industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks like you work on it. Mine, it looks like I take it to ballets and dance around with it. I think it's a great size, and I would love to see an upgrade.
Yeah.
Apple should probably upgrade all of its laptops because the Skylake processor is out. Intel has put out the laptop version of that. I doubt we'd see that in a MacBook, though, would we? But that's there. Are they going to do the mobile? Stick with the mobile?
Yeah. Maybe the MacBook Pro?
Yeah, they'll do it in the Pro. Yeah. They'll probably do it in the Air. Yeah.
Could.
So I wonder, maybe we'll see a whole new, sometimes Apple slips those out and doesn't do an event. This event is not a big event, right, David? What does the invitation say? Loop me in? Loop us in?
Let us loop you in or something like that?
Let us loop you in?
Yeah.
Is there anything to be made of that?
Infinite Loop in Cupertino.
Oh.
It's a small, intimate venue.
I thought maybe they were going to release a loop for the pencil for the iPad Pro was going to be the big product. Don't get my hopes up.
They're going to have a special event for that?
Yeah. Well, it's a small event. It's at the Apple campus.
It will cost
Apple
$90.
$90 loop. That's a small venue, right? I mean, that's like a few hundred people.
It's their smallest venue they do events in.
Oh, but we've been looking, haven't we, at the new theater? I'm hoping, David, maybe you can help. I'd like to get an invitation to the first event at the new campus next year. That's the one I want. Have you seen they put the roof on the theater?
Oh, my gosh. That thing is looking really wild. looking at that exact article. Scroll down and
Mashable had these. These are pictures Apple released, but Mashable had them all in beautiful.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Look at these. They're gorgeous.
And that's just the theater. So the theater is actually underground. And that circular part
that's the lobby.
Sticks up above.
Anyway. That's the lobby.
Oh, the lobby, yeah.
It's the lobby with 360-degree view of the Apple campus. It just floats.
You check in with the attendant there.
What's holding it up? There's nothing holding it up.
That's a trade secret, Leo.
It's got glass walls. Glass doesn't hold roofs. What's holding it up?
What did it say? 8 tons that thing weighs?
Yeah, on glass. I'm not going in there.
This week in architecture.
It looks scary.
I thought you said Apple was good at math.
Yeah, well, they know the math anyway. No, it's the largest freestanding roof in the world. It's a carbon fiber roof. So even though it weighs, 8 tons? That's light. Yeah. That's light for a roof of that size.
Jeez.
It's made in Dubai. I don't know how they got it here.
Can you imagine the FedEx bill on that?
They got a really big box. That's one thing. That would be the event, the first event they hold there, which would be presumably next year, around this time, maybe the fall next year, iPhone 8. But that would be the event you'd want to go to. To be the first one in that beautiful theater. And I would guess, they've been coy about how they're going to name the new campus, but of course they'll name it after Steve, right? I would guess this is the Steve Jobs Theater or something like that.
Mm.
Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? I mean, he was the guy. He was the showman.
The stage was his, right?
The stage was his.
Yeah, that would actually be kind of a nice little nod.
Steve Jobs Theater. Well, anyway. David, you're not going to pull any strings, are you? I can tell. You're standing back. You're
this guy
back.
Can't even get into Hamilton. Why are you asking him?
The problem is I can't offer them Franklin's and Hamilton's to get into an Apple event. It doesn't work.
Well, Leo, I can get you in, but I haven't heard your offer yet.
Article in Business Insider about Steve's widow, Lorene, who is a really, really, really sweet person.
Yeah,
really
she's
great.
She's not that mysterious.
She's in the 50 richest people in the world, according to WealthX. $14.4 billion. So offering her a Hamilton is not going to work.
No.
Maybe a Franklin.
She's probably not the way to go.
That's not the trick to get in. Yeah. I met her and Steve many years ago. He was still at Pixar, and she was just great. They had recently married. They had Reed was, I think, two. He was the same age as Abby, my daughter. And it really... just a wonderful person. And I hope she's doing well. One of the problems, of course, with the iPad is sales seem to have tapered off a little bit. And the question people are asking is an iPad Pro, a small iPad Pro, is that going to make a difference?
No.
The answer is pretty straightforward. Why?
That is correct.
Why?
I mean, they just seem to be doing a Samsung, you know, like, okay, sales of the 10 inches slowing, let's make one that's 11 inches. Okay,
right.
No one's buying that, let's make 9 inches. I mean, you can only milk it so far.
What? But is it that everybody who wanted an iPad has an iPad and that's that?
I think the upgrade cycle on an iPads are more like computers than they are like phones. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are doing more of their computing on phones and seeing less of a need
that
to
is
upgrade
for me, for
their
sure.
iPad and less of a need to upgrade their computers.
Yeah, me for sure.
Nailed it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I have an iPad mini, but it's the first generation.
You have no
urge
to
upgrade. Well, there's no need
there's
to.
No
there's
need.
No need because, you know, it's not like I'm doing real work on it. I'm, you know, watching videos and reading books, playing games.
So isn't that the iPad is not a success? It's a platform. It's a success.
It's the most popular tablet in the entire world. It's like the defining.
That's not saying much.
Well, but
because the other guys aren't selling all that well.
But it's true. I mean, like, if you're going to buy a tablet, you know, 7 out of 10 times or something, it's like an iPad, basically.
Yeah.
So
you know what I think is so weird? It seems like everybody chases each other in this industry, right? Oh, here's an iPad. Now everybody else is going to have a tablet. Why is no one chasing the Amazon Echo?
Oh,
why is
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, Sonos is now chasing it.
Oh, no,
They cut some staff and said that they're going to refocus
They buried the lead on that one. That was all. I think that was all spin. We're going to lay off people. Oh, by the way, we're going to do voice.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely trying to.
Oh, we're going to do voice. Don't pay attention to the fact that we're laying off people. We're going to do voice. Yeah. I love. Look, I'm a Sonos fanatic. I have every, you know,
I love Sonos too.
Room in the house has Sonos, but it's hugely expensive. It's really overpriced, let's face it. I mean, but it was the only thing that allowed you to do multi-room without echo, that it all synced up. They'd had some magic.
And they sound really good, unlike the Amazon Echo.
The Amazon Echo is not a great speaker.
It's not good.
But you have to, and of course, I immediately ordered a Dot because I want to put that on my Sonos speaker.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, is it too late for Sonos? You know, there's a lot of competition. Everybody's buying other people's speakers. If you could, say, use something like a Chromecast Audio to enable streaming. I think the Chromecast does pretty good multi-room. And maybe add a Dot to give it voice, or maybe Amazon. Don't you think Amazon could do something like this?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably not too late, evidenced by the fact that Amazon came out of nowhere with the speaker, and it's been wildly successful.
Right.
And they're working on a whole new line of them. I think, you know, with the Chromecast and Apple's like Airport Express thing and some of the stuff they did with Apple TV on audio.
Yeah, they tried this.
They tried this, but people just want a device that they can plug in.
Because it's a speaker, it's easy, it's straightforward.
Exactly, yeah. And Apple has not really done a good job in speakers. They had the Hi-Fi, which was a disaster, the iPod Hi-Fi many years ago.
I went to that event.
Overpriced dock.
Steve Jobs said, I'm selling all of my high-priced stereo equipment. This is so good. That's when I thought, you know what, this guy's a good marketer. And I didn't really buy it that he sold his Macintosh tube amp. And his Klipsch horns. I'm sure he kept those around.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I don't think that hi-fi sold all that well.
No, it did not.
All right, we're going to take a break. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say there's a self-help group somewhere for people who bought
hi-fi,
you know, the Macintosh TV and the hi-fi and all these things that quickly went away.
The land
20th anniversary Mac.
I have one over there, David. I'm one of those guys. I have one over there, the 20th anniversary Mac. It's an amazing thing. Isn't it? It must be difficult, I think, for these companies. Now, let's put ourselves in their shoes. To make a product, spend years on it, really believe in the product, think it's the greatest thing ever, and people don't buy it. It must be very, like, you scratch your head. Why? What do we do wrong? Does anybody really understand the American consumer? Oh, look, here it comes. I bought it. I ought to get some mileage out of it. Blow the dust off of it, though.
Oh, wow.
And it's gold, your favorite color. Well,
no,
kind of gold.
It's
copper, gold.
Bronzish.
This is when, don't forget, by the way, the entire computer is stored in the subwoofer.
It looks kind of like a precursor to the current Mac Pro.
Yeah, the subwoofer is
the trash can.
It's a Bose subwoofer, and this is my favorite part. Wait, give me the connector, because I love the connector. This is how you connect.
This is
pre-USB. This is how you connect to the subwoofer. This is like an 80 two-pin din.
Is that what we call planned obsolescence?
What the what? This is not a... You'll never see this connector at Halstead. This is... What the...
I think they use those in NORAD.
Universal snake connector.
But they had to do this because the computer, everything was in that subwoofer. And you put that under the desk, and then you had this... They thought this was the greatest thing ever. Johnny Ive did this one, right? This is a Johnny Ive. This is one of his first designs.
I think this was it?
And wasn't it $10,000?
Oh, yeah, that. So here's a hint.
So did you buy this new, or did you get that on the aftermarket?
No, you know what? I didn't buy this. Somebody,
okay, this
somebody
is used.
Somebody
is
gifted.
eBay?
Gifted. No, I didn't even buy it ever.
Okay.
One of our wonderful viewers, it appeared one day. I don't even know how it happened. One of our wonderful viewers brought it to us. I guess he spent $10,000.
I love stuff like this. Like this, the Nexus Q, Google Glass. I mean, just these products that are full of good ideas, but the execution maybe isn't right.
The Q is interesting because Google never even shipped it.
No.
They gave up.
Well, they had some pre-sales. They shipped it to the people who bought it, and then they canceled it.
Yeah,
so if you actually paid for it.
You would have gotten it. And people went to Google I/O, got it.
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah. Do you use it?
No, you can't anymore. They killed the Android app and support for it. It's like this beautiful art sculpture that is useless, but... Man, it had like a really great amp in it, and it was just too niche for its own good. But without it, would we have Chromecast?
Right, right, exactly. All right, let's take a break. David Pogue is in the beautiful Austin area where it's 96 degrees. I don't know how you stay so cool, David.
I'm in the shade. By the way, it's not really a jail. There's the lovely W Hotel rooftop.
Far from it. He's in the that looks like
white collar prison.
You know what that looks like? That looks like the place in Hooli that they put you if they don't want to fire you.
Yeah, the rooftop. That's right.
You've got nothing to do. That's Yahoo's special rooftop office for David.
He's not in Austin. he's just not going to comment on that at all. Just going to sit this one out.
I'm having trouble with the audio.
What?
You're breaking up.
Nathan Olivares Giles is also with us from the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Olivares Giles.
Yes, sir.
And Mark Millian from Bloomberg Business Week. Mr. Millian, Mr. Pogue, Mr. Olivares Giles. My team for this week in tech. Hey, we had a great week this week. Did you see all the stuff we did? You know what? Just in case you missed anything, we put together a small movie to show you.
Previously on Twit.
Alexa, volume one. Alexa, volume one. Alexa, volume one.
This Week in Google.
So Aaron Newcomb brought in this. Now, if you're a nerd, an old school nerd, you'll recognize a 20-sided dice.
That's
13. Oh, that's awesome.
It uses an Arduino, uses an accelerometer.
And bring this to your next D&D, you'll be a superstar.
Know-how.
You'll know how to choose between a Chromebook or a Cloudbook.
If this had been the netbook, the netbook would have survived back then.
Android App Arena.
Have you ever wanted to try on somebody else's face? And not in a Leatherface horror movie sort of way. That would be weird. An app called Masquerade is here to creep you out. Even Facebook agrees this app is awesome. They announced just today that they bought the company.
Twit. Tell your boss it's job related.
It's just trying to deal with secret courts, making secret judgments, makes me, more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Okay, got it.
It's funny. Usually Ian brings us Britishisms, but that was a Texasism. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite. Time to back up. Oh, man, I had a painful call on the radio show today. A guy calls up Omar. He says, we got bit by ransomware. I said, a business? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's okay because you have a backup, right? He said, the ransomware got copied to the backup. So the only backup we've got is 2 weeks ago. So first thing I said is, fire your IT guy. I said, you're not the IT guy, are you? He said, no. I said, fire your IT guy because he didn't do right by you. Next, get Carbonite. Actually, Carbonite, on their website, if you go to carbonite.com and you go to resources up at the top there, and there's a white paper. They have a white paper on what to do to protect yourself from ransomware. Carbonite is a great solution. It's backup done right. See, what Carbonite does is it does versioning. So even if you get stuff encrypted on your hard drive, and even if it backs up the encrypted files, you can always get back to the latest version right before the encryption. It's just the best. If you're in business, if you're at home, automatic cloud backup is the solution. You don't want to back up next to your – well, you could back up your next to your computer, but it shouldn't be your only backup. You got to get it off-site as well in case of, you know, like a big disaster, like fire, flood. Carbonite Cloud Backup will protect the files that keep your business or your home running smoothly. You know, 1.5 million people use Carbonite. And this is the stat I love. They have restored 50 billion files to date. That's 50 billion documents that would have been lost forever. That's kind of an amazing number. Whether it's human error or disaster, Carbonite protects you. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code TWIT and get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. Right now is a good time. They get 30% off as well. Use the offer code TWIT, though, to get that benefit. Carbonite.com. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right with Carbonite. I saw by this poor guy, Omar. He was calling saying, was there anything I can do? And I said, no, and don't pay the ransom either. Don't do like that hospital in L.A. did, $17,000 ransom. A lot of times what happens with ransomware, it's kind of bittersweet, is law enforcement cuts off the ransomware server, so you pay them your Bitcoin, and then but the server's down, you can't get your decryption key. So, you know, once it happens, don't pay them. Just, you know, bite the bullet and have a good backup. Have a good backup. That's something we can tell our readers.
Yep.
That's kind of one of the most important things to do. You guys college basketball fans, March Madness, you got the bug?
Oh, yeah. Go oh, Terps.
Yeah. Tear down. Arizona
those are the turtles?
The turtles, terrapins. Yes. It's a they're type of turtle.
Maryland Terrapins. But they're called the Terps for no reasons. Nobody understands. Are you a Terp?
I am a Terp.
And you, Nathan?
I'm an Arizona Wildcat.
Wildcat.
Yeah. Going to win the Pac-12 this year.
David, we just look in horror because, of course, our team, the Bulldogs, has never been to the NCAA tournament and never
Which
will.
Bulldogs?
Which Bulldogs?
And never will.
Never will. The New Haven. We, David and I went to the best school in Connecticut.
Something wrong with your jaw there, Leo?
Well, if you can't go to March Madness, you can't open your mouth. Something like that. I say, were you a whiff and poof, David?
I was not a whiff and poof. I was an alley cat.
An alley cat. I had a feeling you might have been one of those great singing groups.
The problem with a lockjaw like that is you can't be a whiff and poof.
You can't be a whiff and poof. We are little lost lambs. We've gone stray. Bah, bah, bah. Seriously, if you go to a school that doesn't participate in this way, you really don't get into March Madness.
True.
Was there much competition between your school and UConn?
University of Connecticut. No, those Huskies are too good for us.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could adopt UConn.
Root for them.
We could root for UConn. I'm not rooting for UConn. David, do you root for UConn?
You know what? I'm too busy playing with the Amazon Echo.
We'll get back to the Echo.
It can give you sports scores.
Actually, there was a big Echo story. I was just going to mention that March Madness has a split screen thing on Apple TV, which I haven't seen because I haven't been watching the tournament. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't actually.
It looks cool.
I've heard of it, yeah.
They've done some really interesting things for sports with the Apple TV. That's smart.
Yeah.
It's really smart because those, you know, people who watch this stuff really.
I think it's
really
like maybe 60% of what I watch on my Apple TV is
sports.
Yeah.
I can't wait to baseball because they're going to have some baseball features that look like multi-screen baseball.
Got MLB, got NBA, got MLS.
Yeah, nice.
The soccer, Fubo TV just got an investment from Fox and Sky. They're blowing up.
Watch a little Barcelona.
Who would have thought that IPTV would have ended up being about sports?
TV is about sports.
TV is. Well, TV, but sports, which is live, is like kind of, you know, you can watch all the House of Cards you want, but it's not. But live has always been traditionally difficult because the broadcasters don't want to give up those, you know, they spend a lot of money.
Yeah, that's where all the money's at in TV.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. So you're a big Echo fan now, David. This has taken over your life. How many? But wait a minute. Let's see. Let's measure. How many Echoes do you have?
Well, so here's the deal. I have the one that I was sent to review a few months ago.
Yeah.
And my birthday was this week, and my wife said, it's disgusting. You haven't returned that thing yet. And I keep saying, I will. So she bought me one for my birthday to replace the one that I should have sent back by now.
So do you use it for music? Because I think it sounds like crap for music. Or do you actually use it to like answer, you know, questions and the weather?
Yeah, all of the above. Mostly for music. I just find it
really
so great to come into the kitchen, throw the keys on, and say, Alexa, play some cooking music, and off we go.
Just a little word of warning. What you just did set off hundreds of echoes all across the country.
Yeah.
And they were listening to the podcast, and now they're listening to something else.
To cooking music. I
know. Three weeks ago for Yahoo Tech, I did a video demonstrating all of Alexa's new commands. Like,
oh, it's amazing.
I can control my Nest thermostat with it now. You can say, Alexa, make it 72 degrees.
Be careful about that, though, right?
Sorry. I'll call it Bob, okay? And you can now order Domino's pizza. You can say, Bob, order my favorite pizza. And you can call an Uber with it now, which is super, super convenient. You know, you're busy. You're getting your stuff together, your jacket on. You just say, Bob, order me. And sure enough.
But then you have to eat crappy Domino's pizza. Yeah.
It's good. I hate to tell you. It's probably like Jack in the good pizza. The one I got in New York was, anyway.
I'm glad you're not a food writer, Dave.
You know, it's so funny because I have this debate. There's a guy in the chat room, Mike B., who lives in Jersey, which is the home of some of the best pizza in the world, who insists that Domino's makes good pizza. And it's like, well, maybe that's the case, that Domino's in New York and New Jersey makes good pizza. But out here.
No. I grew up in New Jersey and around New York. There's not good Domino's.
I grew up in New York, no. No.
All right. Can you plug in my Echo? I want to order some pizza. So I have an Echo here because we have to talk about it. I have three at home, and I ordered two dots.
Wow.
I don't want to be in a room of the house that I can't say. Well, you know what I use it for is not music so much as books because I have my Audible books on it, and it reads to me. It's like having my mommy in every room. So the guy, there's this story. Yeah, plug it in somewhere.
Like a
– Oh, yeah, bring the plug, too. You can't just bring the Echo. So this guy in Jersey is listening to NPR's Weekend Edition, and they did a story on the Echo.
Yes.
And how it was helping customers, you know, do all sorts of things, including set their thermostats. So a listener wrote in to say that he was listening to NPR on his Echo and reset his thermostat to 70 degrees. Jeff... This has been going on to our listeners for a long time now, because many of our listeners have them. Jeff said he was listening, and she heard her name, and she started playing the NPR news. And so yes, you have to be careful when you say her name. Although, this is a problem. They've added, now, it used to be just Alexa and Amazon were the trigger words, but they've made Echo a trigger word now. So I don't know. We're going to call it Bob. We have to call it Bob.
I had the same problem, Leo. After that video got posted, I got dozens of tweets saying, "You just triggered my stupid Amazon Echo."
Well, Amazon's doing it themselves with those ads with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the ad, and the Echo wakes up. So we've just plugged the Echo in. I'm going to see if I can order a pizza. Do I have set up an account? Probably do.
You do. Yeah, you have to. All it can do actually is order either the last one you already ordered using the Domino's app, or order one that, using the app, you have designated as your favorite pizza. So you couldn't do it right now. You'd have to order one manually the first time in the app.
Oh, so I have to do it on the phone first. I can't just
have it. Looks like she's trying
to connect
right now.
I guess we're just going to have to order two pizzas. Damn.
She'll announce when she's...
just going to have to set that up.
I'll have to order one on the phone.
Right?
I could do that.
And then
you guys talk amongst yourselves while I download and install the Domino's app. Order a pizza.
You know what's... What's a big hit at our house? I've still got kids in the house. We love, corny as this sounds, we love the joke thing.
I do too.
The jokes are, I've never heard these. They're really great corny puns, but they're good.
Yeah, and you can have it tell dad jokes. Can you do?
They're dad jokes.
Yeah, I think I'd set up to say, Echo, give me a fart. Oh, it stopped listening. Maybe it thought I was rude.
You'll edit all this out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Echo, give me a fart. Oh, it's not turned up. Push it back.
Try Nathan, give me a fart.
you got to. Jeffy will love that.
I don't do that on demand anymore.
Just turn on the fart skill.
That was
You don't do that on demand anymore?
No, that was
pull
college.
My finger.
That was
yeah, college. Okay. No, it's, I don't know why, Echo. You could, so the Amazon did something interesting. You know, they made this, these two new Echoes are the Tap, which is an Echo without a plug. It's battery powered Echo.
Yeah, like,
and
like
they, and they made a Dot, which is an Echo with just a little speaker. The idea being you plug it into a big speaker,
mm-hmm.
which I, that's why I ordered two of them, because that's really what I want. I want to make my Sonos Echo aware, right? But the only way you could buy it was through your Echo, which is weird.
But
it's Echo Inception.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
I even emailed Amazon PR to say, could I review the Dot? And that was the answer, even to reviewers.
Oh, no, you have to order it through your Echo.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. There's so many skills now, though, that's a problem because most of those skills, by the way, it's very easy to write skills, I found out. And you can do it yourself, really. And it, Amazon provides the infrastructure for it and only charges you when the skill is activated. And it's, you know, like less than a penny. So you could easily have your own set of skills. But there's so many skills now, and they have to be enabled, that it's kind of out of control. Like, you need, like, a dictionary next to your Echo to know what it can do and not do. So you listen to music. We gave one to my father-in-law. And he has, like, he listens to Elvis all the time. He says, you know, Echo, play Elvis.
I think I just still really like hearing music sound good. So
I know. I
would love
it's not the best speaker.
Yeah, if Dot could control my Sonos and play music through my Sonos that way.
It can't, though. So what you'll have to do is put the Sonos in auxiliary mode, plug it into the auxiliary port.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be too much
pain. It's too much trouble.
I mean, but that kitchen scenario that Dave brought up earlier, if your hands are messy, and you just want to hear
I use the timer all the time. Like, yeah.
It's not like
the timer's great.
I get multiple timers. Echo, play some Elvis. Let's see if she's. I don't know if she's.
She's
Echo.
She's not responding.
she's waking up, but she's not doing anything.
And the volume's up?
Yeah, normally, I mean, when we plugged her back in, she would say connecting to the network kind of a thing.
Just tired.
After all these years, Leo, you still don't know the lesson of trying to do live demos of technology without setup.
We're seriously thinking about whether we should do an Echo show. Lisa says we absolutely should do an Echo show. I'm thinking maybe an Internet of Things show, but mostly Echo.
I'm telling you, this thing is so unsung. Why isn't there a Samsung copycat and a Microsoft copycat and an Apple copycat.
It's coming.
Gets one loves it.
Maybe Apple announced that in March.
It would be
smart. They have Siri. All they have to do is make a little thing.
Well, I guess there's a little bit of a question. I mean, for Amazon, for Echo, it makes a ton of sense right now because you can buy lots of things from it. Right?
Yeah, well, for Amazon, it's huge.
Music, right? So for,
I buy stuff all the time.
Exactly. But for Samsung, they have what's the name of their Internet of Things? Smart Things, is that the name of their
Smart company? Things? They bought Smart Things, which is a great. Right? In fact, the Echo works with Smart Things.
So if you're Samsung, the likelihood is that you would have it control those Smart Things products, right?
Right. But Echo already does it.
Yep.
Echo works great with Smart Things. So and it works with If This Then That, which really makes it very capable. There's a lot more.
It works with Nest too, doesn't it?
I wonder though for Sonos, since it this does. Is where they say they're going to kind of. Spend some money and develop and grow their company. I feel like for all the folks who already have Sonos speakers, like all three of us, really, they're going to have to sell some sort of device that you plug into your existing Sonos speakers to get them to control it, right? I mean, you're not going to want to get rid of the hardware.
I'm feeling like Sonos, they're right. What they said in their announcement was, we're laying off people. Oh, and by the way, forget that part. We realize that people are, what we've focused on is playing your music collection.
Which is what they already do.
And we realized that's not the future, that most of our users are using streaming services. Yeah. So they do support Apple Music now. They just added that. Paul Thurrott says it stopped working with Microsoft's Groove. His, anyway, stopped working a few days with Microsoft Groove. Echo says. What? I don't think I know what you're talking about.
It used to be Xbox Music.
Groove
Before that, Zune.
Yeah.
It's like their 15th pivot.
Maybe that's what happens. Sonos lost track of the name.
Yeah.
But it does work with Spotify very well. It works with Amazon Music as your own collection with
Tidal,
Google Music.
Everybody's
with Tidal.
Favorite.
So Sonos does do a good job, but I just feel like... they say we're going to try to. How do you go from 0 to 60 with voice recognition?
Honestly, I don't think it would be that hard. If you're Sonos, you are like a premium brand, right? You make really great sounding hardware that sells at a high price. So it might be a small market for 4 Wi-Fi speakers.
Yeah, but who do you go? Is it like you just hire some guy and he writes a voice recognition system?
You buy services from Nuance for the
Nuance
voice.
Nuance does a lot of this, right? That's what S-Voice from Samsung is.
Yeah. And then like the Echo, it's not really like a conversational AI so much as
it's
just like command-based. Right. So once you have the ability to transcribe, you know, text.
You also have to have Array mics. Now, what's interesting is that the newest Sonos Play 5
has microphones
that are not enabled.
Yep. It has those mics.
So clearly they're aiming at this.
Yeah. They.
But I'm not going to buy all new Play 5s.
Which is why if you buy something like the Dot that works with your Sonos speakers that has
They should partner with Amazon.
Or has Nuance built in or someone built in. Why doesn't
Amazon let this ecosystem just go everywhere? Because after all, really, I'm sure where they make money is in sales. I ran out of batteries, so I say, Echo, buy some more batteries. And it just does. And they come 2 days later.
And you just made 40,000 people
mad. I'm so sorry. We have done that.
Caused a spike in Energizer sales right there.
We had Jason Calacanis on, and he decided to really troll everybody, and he issued like 20 Echo commands in a row, really loud, really fast. And it was like a mess. I don't know. I feel bad she's not working. Echo, self-destruct.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Leo, I have a tech support question for you.
Yeah.
So I just got Sonos for Christmas.
Yeah.
And fantastic. But the one thing that boggles me is it doesn't seem to tap into the regular OS audio controls. So if I want to pause it skip, I have to go in. I have to unlock the phone, go find the app, and burrow into it.
Isn't that really crazy?
The way
it is? Yes.
There's no easier way?
No. Of course, they could do it. I would think even if they couldn't do it on an Apple, they could do it on an Android device.
They could do it on an Android device. On Apple, it'd be a little tougher because those controls are for what the phone is playing, and the app is a controller that sends commands to the speaker itself, not the phone.
What you're seeing is a small company that made a premium product that was successful in a niche market because it was very pricey. That people it was much like Amazon's Echo. The tech people who have it, the people who own it, or Tesla or something like that, where it was a small group, but they were passionate.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them.
And there was nothing else like it.
But I think
created their own market.
The competition may have passed them by. I don't know.
I think there's still time. I mean, we don't have Samsung's version of this yet. We don't have, you know, Google or Apple's version of this yet. And those artificial intelligence assistants or whatever are much further along and more capable than Alexa is. I mean, the utility here is awesome, and the price is cheap and affordable, so it's super accessible. But
it's still not cheap. It's $200 for the Echo, right?
But its AI can't do as much and isn't as smart as Google or Apple.
Well, that's what's funny. We all have this in our phones, but it's not. Somehow it's qualitatively different. David, I always quote you because when you were talking about the first I'd ever heard to really explain why drones were so interesting to people, because for the first time they were seeing their everyday life from a third dimension. And it really resonated with me. What do you think the secret? So you're clearly good at just kind of figuring out why these things catch on. What do you think the secret is? Why is the Echo so much better than the better speech recognition in Google Now or Siri?
Well, I mean, for the Echo, I think there's two magical elements to it. One is its vocabulary is so small that
it's
very accurate.
Right.
It has a very small number of things it needs to understand.
And speaker independent, so anybody in the room can talk to it without training.
That's right.
Which is hilarious.
And also, people underestimate the engineering that had to go into those 7 Array microphones to be able to hear you and cancel out the echo of the room.
Well,
it's
here's a
totally
tip.
Amazing.
Here's a tip, David. Once you get to the multi-echo situation, we have one in the gym and one in the kitchen. They both respond all the time, so you can't. You have to put them distant from one.
Can you name one Echo
and
one?
That
Alexa?
Would probably be the solution. You know what? That's why they added a third name. Is that people are starting to get more than one Echo?
Yeah.
That's probably why. Huh. And then the
Leo, do you know what VIV is? Have you heard about VIV?
No. V-I-I-V or V-I-V?
V-I-V. The three guys who developed Siri and were bought by Apple.
Oh, yeah. Viv.ai. Yes.
They left Apple.
Yes.
Yeah, and they've created this next generation Siri where it doesn't just look up information. It actually executes it. You can say, you know, what liquor store has Veuve Clicquot that's on my way to my brother-in-law's house? You know, so it needs to know the inventory of every liquor store. It needs to know who your brother is, where he lives. Or you can say, buy me an aisle seat to Austin this Friday after 6 p.m. and returning the following Monday.
But
and
isn't it
will know what all that is.
This always frustrated me because Apple bought Siri and then took some of those features out. You used to be able to make reservations with Siri when it was an app, and they took it out. So good for them. So they must have cashed out. They got their 3 years with Apple, got their stock vested, and they're going off to do it once again right this time.
SoundHound has one called Hound.
I've used Hound, and I like
it's
Hound.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty smart.
You can
fast.
Yeah.
How is it so fast?
Insanely fast. And it can do, like, hundreds of different commands, and you can stack the options like that in a kind of conversational way. So you can say, you know, find me 5-star pizza restaurants with Wi-Fi that are open, you know, until midnight tonight.
I found a Domino's pizza near you.
Damn it.
Damn it. You're wrong.
Why is Domino's
Why don't
so
robots
good?
Know about good pizza?
Pogound.
Soundhound is an you know what? That actually kind of validates your point that Sonos could come up to speed pretty quickly because SoundHound, how did they? I mean, they had the technology, I guess, to listen to music.
Well, they've been working on it for about a decade.
Oh.
Since so.
Okay.
Well, it was like a Shazam app before.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I've spoken with the CEO about this, and what he said was this was their goal the whole time. They've been working on it for the last decade, but SoundHound was the product that they needed to put out there to get, like, to create a company and to have VCs and stuff kind of on board.
That was their interim.
And they were able to build a little bit of the speech recognition and things like that. So this, they say, was the goal the whole time. But it works quite well. And they have open APIs. So Sonos could come up to speed really quickly. I think what they need to do is, like, as David mentioned.
Buy somebody.
Is get those Ray mics, build the hardware, get it out there.
Boy, I think it's harder said than done. And I don't think it's something that could happen right away.
But in the next year, I think Sonos could have, like, a small little device. And like you mentioned, they have those Array mics in the current Play 3, right? Or Play 5.
Yeah.
Current Play 5. I mean, they're already making steps in that direction anyways.
David, you're one of the first people I knew back in 2006. You were using Dragon Naturally Speaking I thought that was cool. You would write your books, like, normally, but then you'd do the index with speech recognition, with speech to text.
Yeah, I have a long history with speech recognition, not by any foresight on my part. I got a horrible wrist ailment called tenosynovitis. It's like some inflammation thing, and I couldn't type. In the late 90s, I was having serious... I only do two things, right? I type and I play the piano. Those are my two careers.
Great.
And the doctor said, great. Simple, just stop using your hands.
So, great.
So I started with Power Secretary.
What?
$2,500 program.
I remember that one.
The very first speech recognition from what is now Nuance. And you spoke like this. You had to separate words. It was unbelievable. So that's how I started. At the end of the day, I'd be like, hi, honey, how was work? You know,
period. Exclamation mark. Yeah. New paragraph.
So I do consider myself something of an expert.
Google, I know we have to let you go pretty soon because you got to get to your panel in about half an hour. So I'm not going to keep you much longer. But it's great to have you. And it's always great to see you, David. Come up and visit us sometime. And good luck with your panel.
Well, thank you so much, sir. And good to join you, gentlemen.
Always a pleasure. David Pogue, founder of Yahoo Tech, tech.yahoo.com. Oh, can't forget the book. Love your new book, Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You. This is such a great book. It's all these little weird hacks, like, you know, using pinhole finger to see without glasses. And
That's the best. It's true. It's the pinhole. If you're over 40 and you need glasses,
yeah, you guys don't know about this. Yeah,
like when you're, you know what, Leo? Like when you're in a hotel shower and you can't read the little bottles.
Uh huh. What the hell is that?
It's perfect.
I do it all the time.
Do you really?
I do it all
Jason Klanth is our producer. Wow.
Yep.
So anyway, this is a great book. It's available on Kindle, available at Amazon. It's out in paperback. Pogue's Basics, Life. David's written the missing manual for years and years and years, and usually those are about technology subjects. This one's about life. The missing manual for life. Nice.
You have very good taste in books, Leo.
I have mine, and I love it.
You actually have a copy of it?
Oh, please? Yeah. They sent me a copy. I was so pleased. I didn't buy it. They sent me one. I would have bought it if they hadn't.
Gotcha.
They, I don't know who they is. It's not Apple, because they don't send me crap.
I'll make sure you stay on the list.
I'm just teasing. Thank you, David. Always great to see you.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. David Pogue, tech.yahootech.yahoo.com. And Pogue's Basics. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Nathan, you can stay.
I
don't have a South by Southwest panel to get to?
Unfortunately, not this year. Yeah.
Have you done them panels at South by?
Oh, yeah. Last couple of years I was doing them. Yeah.
How come you're not going this year?
You know, I just had some things that I need to take care of here.
I have to say, we stopped cover. We used to go.
Yeah.
Remember, I did this body surfing with a...
Oh, yeah. That was at a dig event, right?
Yeah. at the barbecue there. But it just turned out to be Stubbs. It just turned out to be a party instead of like an actual work event, right?
Yeah. Mm.
There wasn't that much to cover. There would have been this year. There's the game. They had the Gamergate all day panel yesterday. We could talk a little bit about that when we come back. The president spoke, so there would have been more news there this year. But we just felt like there's other events. Like we're going to cover NAB. You know, we were at Mobile World Congress that we could cover more usefully than a big party for the tech.
And in the mid to late 2000s,
it was amazing.
It was actually seen as a launching pad for some of the most important
apps. Twitter launched in 2007.
Foursquare, which we thought was going to be a huge sensation. Not so much.
You know what?
It was for a little
bit. I still check in places. I get stickers.
I used to care so much about being the mayor, and I just don't care anymore.
You lost interest.
Yeah. But
what's on the front page of all my phones? Swarm. That's the check-in version of Foursquare. All my phones.
The breakout apps the last few years have been
Meerkat.
Disappointing. Meerkat last year.
That was a year ago.
Remember Highlight?
Yeah, Meerkat's dead already. Highlight. Oh, that was a flop.
Well, Twitter kind of killed Meerkat with Periscope.
Right.
The idea itself.
Even Periscope.
One.
Do you really think people live streaming is all that?
No. I think celebrities like it, but it's not really
Snapchat. Like the Galaxy S7 comes with YouTube. Direct streaming to YouTube. I can do YouTube Live right from the phone. I'm on the camera all the time, so I don't really need to. I think everybody uses Snapchat. That's all they really want.
Right? I go to Periscope when there's
Snapchat a lot.
Do you go to Periscope and look at stuff?
When there's breaking news, when there's things happening around the world, you see something
like
on CNN.
Oh, all right.
And I'll go into the map mode of Periscope and see like the fires that happened in Dubai, the hotel. The CNN was covering their thing, and I was like, let me see what the people on the street are doing. And I got like 8 different angles of it.
You know, I was wondering because there's a Periscope app on Apple TV, and I thought, well, what would that be? It's because people like to watch.
Yeah.
But isn't it vertical?
I know. That's a little strange. You can shoot sideways now. Can't you? Yeah.
I feel like I watch a lot of Periscope video in those breaking news situations in the Twitter app itself, but I don't really go to Periscope itself for that. But maybe I'm just not the typical user or something. I don't know.
Same with Vine. Like, I'll watch the 6-second Vines when they show up in my Twitter stream, but I don't ever go look at the Vine app.
And that's especially great during sports when you want to watch, like, that awesome play over
What's that
and over
coming
again.
From? Is that me?
Outside, I think.
Is that outside?
Is it a car?
Is it a tsunami warning?
Is that me?
Is that me? Does I have a burrito
what part, of, what part of you would be honking? I'm just curious.
wait till you get old, you tell me.
I knew I shouldn't have had that Domino's for dinner last night.
I feel bad now. People in the chat room are saying, how can I can't believe Leo doesn't like Domino's. I'm going to have to go to get some Domino's. No? I'm right?
No.
No one's saying that.
No one's saying
that. You're fine. It's okay.
Oh, poor Domino's.
Could it be I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt?
When you have New Yorker pizza, why would you go to Domino's?
We have good pizza.
Yeah. And it comes from New York.
Yeah, Sal comes from New York. Sal is a New Yorker. He used to have a pizza place in Brooklyn. Then he came to California, came to Petaluma. And now he makes it here. No one wants cheddar cheese on their pizza. No one wants hot dogs in the crust of the pizza. Although, initially, that sounds like a great idea.
I want to try that so bad. I haven't tried it, but I know it's
Do they have it here yet? Is it here yet?
I don't know. I know it's going to be terrible, but I just want to try it and see what it's like and just to know that it's terrible.
Here's what I think. I think by talking about Domino's on this show, we have just sold millions of pizzas. Like, people are going to be eating it for dinner tonight. This is going to be the thing. I want a hot dog stuffed crust pizza. This is in the UK. Of course, they could sell this in the UK.
I've ordered quite a few things from Domino's. We have a local Domino's branch.
This
now,
is not inspiring me to want to eat a Domino's pizza.
It is giving me flashbacks to my high school mustache, though.
Yeah, really. He's going to feed it to his dog. Oh, man, talk about drawing it out. This is the unboxing of a hot dog stuffed crust pizza.
Pepperoni, jalapenos.
How much tan can one person wear? That's this guy is killing it.
At least he's loyal. He bought a Dyson vacuum, so he's loyal to his people.
Generous ingredients on that. This feels very fresh and hot. Let's
give. We should not mock this. This is good. This is what YouTube was made for. The dog is staring at him as he chews.
Jalapenos.
I don't want to be this kid tonight.
Him eating the cheese off his lip kind of reminded me of what was it?
Ted Cruz had the booger.
Look, there's hot dog in there. There's a hot dog in there.
Deep, rich.
Shut up! I've had enough. Thank you very much.
That
deep,
video
rich.
Actually
nothing
makes me not want to eat the hot dog. I take back all the stuff I said.
That's why I played that. That was a public service for you.
Thanks for curbing that.
Now I'm sitting with two bearded guys, but I'll tell you something about beards. You still have to shave, don't you? You don't just let it go crazy. Sometimes. You got to groom around the beard, right?
Yeah.
You don't want it to be the neck beard. Yeah, well, behind you, I got to get you Harry's. Where's my Harry's? Look at this. Here we go. We're gonna get you. I'm gonna give you this. Harry's makes the best razors, and they sell them to you at about half the price of the drugstore blades. In fact, they come to you direct from the factory in Germany. Harry's, when they started, they said, where are the best blades made? Well, there's two companies. There's two factories in Germany. Okay, let's buy one. And they did. And they engineer the blades for performance. They engineer the blades for sharpness. Man, this is a great blade. I have the Winston set at home because that's got, and in fact, I got the winter Winston with the copper handle. It's beautiful. They have the Truman set. This is a Truman with a plastic handle. Winston sets are metal handles. But really, it's the blades that really are what matter. Everything is beautifully designed, and they come right to your door. And if you're paying $32 for an 8-pack, forget it. Get Harry's. Now, here's a great deal. This is something new. For a limited time, they're so confident you're going to love your Harry's shave, they're going to let you try it for free. So go to harrys.com/twits. Sign up for a shave plan. So you'll subscribe to blades and either the gel or the cream. I like the cream. A lot of people like the gel. And that'll be shipped to you depending on how often you shave, every month or every other month. But when you do that, they will then send you a beautifully crafted kit with a razor handle, with a 5-blade cartridge, a starter set of foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. All you have to do is cover the $3 shipping charge. So it's a great way to try Harry's. And you know, if you didn't like it, you just cancel the subscription. You don't have to worry about it. But I think you're going to like it. It's the best shave ever. And everybody I've given Harry's to, including you, Nathan Oliveras Giles, it's time to clean up that neck beard. I give you your Harry, your first Harry's kit. Harry's.com/twit. I'll have one for you next time.
All right. I'll take you up on that.
All right. Actually, we probably have another one. Can we get another kit for
it's okay.
Mark? No, we keep them in stock. It's a parting gift.
I didn't think I'd get a gift coming here.
Harry's. You're going to love it. Harry's. How you fixed for blades? You good?
Harry. I'm just kidding. That army green handle is pretty sharp.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? It's nice. I like that one. They have different colors, but
Can I elect to take a hot dog pizza instead of a Harry? I mean, Harry sounds great.
Let's see. Is he still eating it?
He's still going.
He's still eating it?
We need to hook him up with a little Harry's action, too.
Let's give that. Hot dog crust, guys, this is what you want to know about, so let's get straight into this. The hot dog stuffed crust is back.
Oh, God. The dog's really interested. The dog is so...
That's a nice accompaniment, I will say.
Good. The dog's interested because it smells like Alpo.
That's a very good pizza.
Oh, shut up. Oh, shut up. Go away. Hey, some sad news. Actually, an interesting story. A guy named Robert Palladino, who taught for many years calligraphy at Reed University. And that's where Steve Jobs credits him and that calligraphy class with his sense of design. Steve, as some know, went to Reed, couldn't afford to stay there, was only went there, I think, for one semester or two, but ended up, after dropping out, continuing to go to the classes. He audited Robert Palladino's calligraphy class and became a lover of great
fonts
and typography. Palladino was a Trappist monk for many years, a Roman Catholic priest, and a calligrapher. And he passed away, I'm sad to say, on February 26th at the age of 83. For years, he would give babies he baptized baptismal certificates that he had handwritten out there. That would be something to have.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know there's a font called Palladino in the Macintosh, and that's a tribute to Father Palladino. He says, I never met Steve Jobs. He taught him. So I guess he met him, but I don't think he really kind of remembers Steve Jobs. But he was very glad that he had some influence on him, although he never owned a computer.
Wow.
Nope. Had no interest. He liked to write by
hand.
He
did have an iPad Pro.
No, he didn't.
I wonder if he would have liked the pencil, you know? I wonder, like, it's kind of a shame that he's passed away, you know? But
yeah,
that would have been cool to see if he liked it or not.
Yeah. He was asked in 2013 what he remembered of Steve Jobs. He says, and this is how we know he doesn't know Steve Jobs, he was most pleasant. Yeah. Well, maybe Steve was back then. He was just a kid. Have you been following the Google AlphaGo computer that's playing...
Yes, this is epic.
Isn't this epic? Amazing story.
It's like our modern Deep Blue. Like
it is.
Chess, IBM chess.
So as a chess player, I was really interested 20 years ago when Deep Blue beat the world champion Garry Kasparov in 1997. And it really roiled the chess world because people didn't like the idea that a computer could best the best human in the world easily. Well, fast forward 20 years, they've never been able to make a Go-playing computer. It's very hard. It's a 19 by 19 board. There's only one kind of piece. It's just a stone. You place pieces on the board. You take turns placing pieces. And the goal is to occupy territory. You know, there are small versions of Go. Kids often play with a 5 by 5 board. Same idea. You surround territory to command it. If your pieces are in there and your opponent surrounds you, he takes your pieces off. At the end of the game, you count how many squares you control. Whoever controls the most squares wins. It's a very difficult game to play for computers, for humans,
and
too.
For people, yeah. Kind of a complicated game.
Never really took off in the U.S., but it's very big in Japan and China. Lisa Dole is a Korean player who was 18 times the world champion. He's a highest-ranked player. He's a 9 Dan. They rank him on a scale of Dans. He's 9 Dan.
He's like
lost.
Michael Jordan to Go.
You might say that.
Yeah.
He's not currently the number one ranked player. In fact, there's another guy who is number one who says, all right, I want my turn. AlphaGo, created by a company called DeepMind, Google bought DeepMind in the fall of last year, was the first computer designed really to win at Go. It played a bunch of games against less proficient players. But more importantly, it was a learning AI and it played tens of thousands of games against itself and taught itself to play, which is fascinating. It was a 5-game match. Game one, the computer wins. Shocking. But Lisa Dole said, well, wait a minute. You know, I didn't play that well. Game two, the computer wins. Shocking. But still there was some question. Is the computer playing well or is Lisa Dole thrown by the computer's style, which is non-human? Game three, which was on a Friday night, computer wins again. And this time, for the first time, I heard a number of Go players say, no, you know what? This computer played better than any Go players ever played.
And that's it. 5 games. The computer won 3 of
them. It won 3. It was over. Yeah. Lisa Dole said, I want to keep playing. So they played another one, and he won.
Yep.
Game four, Lisa Dole won. So even though AlphaGo has won the match already because it's a best of 5. Wow.
And then game 5 is Monday night.
Yep.
Final match.
See, a lot of interest in that. Some think that Lisa Dole figured out how the computer played, and he stayed up late. He stayed up till 6 a.m. analyzing the game with his teammates.
pounding Red Bulls, listening to music on Alexa, obsessing over this.
Obsessing.
And have you tried playing the game before? I've never played it.
I have played it. It's a beautiful game, but it's very hard. As a serious chess player,
they talk a lot about how it's a game of intuition and how almost requires a human-like
in chess. You can look ahead and you can kind of calculate, and a computer, of course, can calculate better than a human. But Go, there's so many possibilities. It's very hard to calculate a win. So you've really got to, a computer has to do a lot of pattern recognition.
One of the big surprises from some of the people who have watched, who know how Go works, as I've heard, I don't really know a whole lot about the game, but they say that the machine doesn't play like
a human at all.
At one point in one of the matches, the machine made a move that was so unusual, Lee Sedol got up from his seat and left the room just to contemplate.
He was shaken.
He was shaken. And he's still on the clock. It's a lot like chess where you're on the clock. And so, it affects you to wait. But he was
the new screensavers, we had the president of the American Go Association on to talk a little bit about this because, you need to have a Go player to explain it. He said one of the things that happens with Go is as you're playing the game as a human, you're always calculating, well, how far ahead am I? How many more pieces, how many more squares do I control? And if you're 19 ahead, you kind of continue to build. Mm-hmm. If you're 19 behind, you work harder. So the computer doesn't work that way at all. It's calculating its chance of winning the game. It doesn't care about the current standing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying, what's the best move to win the game? Even if I only win by one square, I don't care. And that's not how humans play Go. There's also a lot of tradition in Go. Oh, this Verge had a good Verge piece. Let me show you a little bit of the game of Go.
So, I like the random shot of the movie iRobot.
You got to throw that in. Yeah, if you're going to do it, you got to throw in an iRobot.
Any Will Smith reference you can hack into a short video.
One of the greatest actors of all time.
Will Smith?
I like Will Smith.
I love Will Smith. Yeah. So it's a huge AI step, frankly, because it's neural networks that they're using, and it's
I think this is like really cool. I don't think I'm as fascinated by this as everyone else supposedly seems to be. Maybe it's because I don't care about the game Go very much. I know it's like a huge milestone for AI, but it also kind of feels like when IBM's Watson beat a human being in Jeopardy, or like the chess situation you talked about. It's like, maybe I'm jaded or I've seen too many science fiction movies, but it's kind of like, well, this was going to happen. This was inevitable that a computer would reach this point. And so
I guess the surprising thing is how quickly it's, the like people who had been following the developments of some of these AI thought it wouldn't happen for another 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like, if you look at the way technology works, you're constantly building on what other people have done and what comes before. So,
Facebook also working on a Go playing AI.
Yeah. So it's like, the
more because it's an AI challenge than because they want to win a Go.
Obviously. Yeah. 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 But these are like basically stepping stones to building like a actual useful AI.
Yes.
And so, just in the same way that like our smartphones are way more powerful than anyone could have predicted a computer could have been in a pocket 20 years ago or whatever. Like this, the kind of, the guesstimates as to when we would get here mean less to me than just the milestone itself. So I kind of feel like it's cool. It's neat. And now I'm like already like, what's next?
60 million Chinese watched the first game.
This milestone from about a year ago is a little more interesting.
The Google invents AI system that plays video games.
Yeah. And it, watch it. So this is, you can pull it up on your screen.
Yeah.
It's like, it has the progression where it shows what it was like early on in the process of trying to figure out how Breakout works, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And then
is it a little creepy? Do you find it a little creepy to watch these things learn?
Very creepy.
I don't think it's that creepy. This is what they do. They figure out something, and then they try and they fail, and they figure out how to get around it by failing. It's like, okay, this path did not work. Let's try this path. Did not work. Yeah. Let's try this path. Did not work. This path worked. This path worked. So they're able to build on that, and it's just kind of a process of elimination. Like,
did you ever see a screensaver called Breve Walker, or Breve Walker, Breve? So this is another actually pretty old AI thing where it gives – it's a great screensaver. I don't know if you can still get it. My kids used to love it.
Uh-huh.
It gives you a creature, and the creature's goal is to learn to walk. So it tries many, many strategies of legs and walking. It's got four legs, and it learns to walk, but it takes a long time. But watching it learn to walk is fascinating and creepy at the same time. Loved watching it. Yeah, you can get it on the App Store.
Awesome.
I'll have to look. So you can now get your very own Brev Walker. That's what it looks like.
App last updated December 2009.
Yeah, it's old. Hey, what's wrong with that? You know, it's learning.
It's a throwback.
That actually is newer than the one I was using, which was a screensaver. Here's a. You want to watch a little video? Sure, let's watch a little video. These are the Brev Walkers. So what's creepy is it? It's not doing so well. It's like a little. It's like they're
all over
kinda,
the place.
Yeah. What it shows you is AI can evolve, and a thing can learn, and eventually, over time, it actually does learn to walk. In the meantime, there's some pretty funny failures, just like the Grand ARPA Challenge, where the robots fall over and don't kick them, though, because I think we really shouldn't exacerbate that problem that we're going to face in the near future. I was going to mention this before we had to let David go. Google is working on voice recognition that's offline. And because it's offline, it's a lot faster, like 20 times faster, because it doesn't have to go to the server. And isn't that really where Siri falls down a lot? Is I can't get on the network. Yeah, yeah. What did you say?
Yep.
What's interesting about this is only 20 megabytes. So you don't need to put a lot of data on the computer. I'm sorry. It's only 7 times faster.
You know, Apple used to have a version of this.
Of Siri?
A voice control that would work with offline access. It would only respond to set commands. But I think it was faster.
So you know how they trained it? 3 million anonymous voice samplers, 2,000 hours from Google search. Each voice sample had 20 distorted versions created by extracting noise from YouTube videos. It's a learning machine.
Mm-hmm.
This is all, boy, this is the key, isn't it?
Yep.
AI. And any day now, it's over. I hope you've enjoyed your pathetic little life in the last 30,000 years on this planet.
Hope you enjoy your Domino's.
That's what happens when you eat hot dog crust pizzas. There's no future. Moot, Chris Poole, founder of 4chan, went to Google. He's now working
on Google Plus.
On Google Plus. What?
That's a punishment for creating 4chan.
Pay your debt to society.
Wow. It's like, that's worse than the jail David was in. That's like,
The Google Plus team is on a roof somewhere.
I swear to God, I think that's Yahoo's Hooli right there. It's a Hooli roof plan. I put my Android N on my Nexus 6.
I'm so pissed I couldn't get on my Nexus 5.
Yeah, you still have a 5X, 6P, or you could put it on your... do you have a... What was the TV thing? Not the one you have, but the newer one.
Oh, the Chromecast?
No, the Android TV device. I like... actually, you know, what's interesting is they've never done this before, a public beta. And you can just go to android.com/beta, I think, and say, if you have one of those devices, you have a Nexus device. I put it on my Pixel C, too. The split screen makes the Pixel C quite usable, I think.
Interesting.
It's a revolution. But what's interesting is how stable this is. This is the first release. It won't be out till, fall?
Yeah.
Or later. And it's working pretty nicely. There's a few little glitches here and there. I like how consolidates notifications into a single chunk, and then you can expand the chunk and see what all of the notifications are. It really helps a lot with
notifications. Is there split screen on the phone as well?
There is.
Do
and
you
I'm
find
trying
that
to,
useful at all?
No, I think it's too small a screen to be useful.
That's
it's great on the Pixel.
Thinking. Yeah,
and I couldn't get it to work is the other thing. So maybe I don't know. Maybe it isn't on the phone because you're supposed to long press the recents.
Okay. Remember, Jeff had it.
He got it to work.
Yeah. Right? So on the 6P, I thought.
It's never worked for me. It works fine on the Pixel C.
So you go to the recents and there's some... Yeah, the grilled cheese.
Yeah, if you long press the recents, you get the grilled cheese. But it's not happening. That sounds strange when I say that.
I love grilled cheese. I don't know what you're talking about.
So you know the hamburger menu is three lines?
Oh, yeah.
It's a two-line hamburger menu, so we've decided that's a grilled cheese.
I like it. I like it. Yeah.
It's better than a hot dog stuffed pizza, I can tell you that right now.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
The hamburger
bun. You know the hamburger menu? Three lines?
Yeah.
Anytime you see the hamburger, it's like a bun with a piece of meat in it?
Yeah.
You've seen a hamburger menu.
Have you held an Android hamburger phone before?
Menu? No, it's like when you see a bun on the left. So on Google Maps in the left-hand corner.
It's like talking to my grandma.
Pull up Google Maps.
What the hell? You don't know what a hamburger menu is?
I do not know this, Mark.
See that? You've seen that?
That's the hamburger bun.
Oh, the hamburger menu.
It's just three horizontal lines.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
It's called the hamburger because it looks like a hamburger, right?
Buns in a patty.
All right.
Now that you see it, you'll never
unsee it. So grilled cheese is too. It's just the bread. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It really shouldn't even be a grilled cheese. It should be a bread sandwich. It should be something like that.
Bread sandwich.
But I can't get it to do the bread sandwich for some reason. So I don't know if maybe there's something wrong on here. Anyway, nice. And it's good that they released it. And while I wouldn't recommend it on a phone that you absolutely need to have, I haven't had any problems with it, which is surprising. It means it's closer. And I think it's one of the reasons they released it. It's closer than we thought. As to what they will name N, they're not saying. It's got to be a dessert that begins with the letter N. Okay, here's a quiz.
Nougat.
That's what I think. But here's a quiz. Can you name all of the Android dessert versions?
Oh, I can do it.
I won't make you start.
Well, they never released.
A or B was never released. Right.
There was no A or B.
First one is C.
Cupcake.
Cupcake.
Cupcake, donut, eclair, froyo.
G.
Was gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
Honeycomb.
H, yeah. That was only for tablets.
Yep. Ice cream sandwich.
J. Jelly.
Oh, yeah, jelly. Bean. Jelly, yeah, jelly bean.
Did you say a bad word? And K is
Kit Kat.
And L is lollipop.
And then there was marshmallow.
Marshmallow.
Yeah.
That's where we are. Yeah, so what is N going to be? Hiroshi Luckheimer is in charge of Android. Kind of tease it in his blog post. Not, by the way, on Google Plus. Boy, this is just the end.
Yeah, they went
on
to
Medium.
Take that, Chris Poole.
At the, yeah, no kidding. Even Hiroshi's not using Google Plus. At the end, he says, "And as to what we are going to call Android N, the burning question on everyone's mind, what will the N release be named? We're not telling you, N-U-T. Not.
Like Nutella, Nutella.
You think Nutella? Or Nutty Buddy. How about Nutty Buddy? Yeah, quick, use Google. See if Google can search. Nuka-Cola.
Oh, Nutty Buddy, yeah.
Nutty Buddy, okay. Nutter Butter.
Nutty bars.
I think it's Nutella.
If it's a dessert,
I think it's kind of nougat.
Nougat would have been so much better.
Yeah.
Nougat has nuts in it. Nut job.
Nut roll.
Nut roll. Nut roll. No, no, no. No one ever would upgrade to Google Android nut roll. I'll take Android nut roll.
They should have named it Nerds. Dude, do you rock in the nut roll?
Ken from Chicago is right. They should have named it Nerds.
That's a good one.
That would have been appropriate.
Nerds would actually be really
good.
That's
more candy than dessert. Right?
Kippy candy.
Kit Kat is like a candy bar.
Kippy candy.
You know? And who the hell eats like a honeycomb by itself anyways?
When was the last time you ordered jelly beans as a dessert?
I want nut roll. Now I want nut roll.
Nut roll.
We'll take a break. Come back with some final words in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. If you're the type that sells on the internet, you got to ship on the mail or whatever, right? You got to use stamps.com. I cannot tell you how many times I get, even from like big PR firms, it looks like a bomb. A package wrapped in brown paper with twine and hand-licked stamps on it. It's not the way to do it. You got to go to stamps.com. This is a great solution. If anybody's doing fulfillment, here's the deal. First of all, you don't have to go to the post office, so that's great. You have what you need. A computer, you got it? Yeah. And a printer? Yep. Not special printer, not special ink, just a printer. You can print on the envelope. Which means you can even put your logo and the barcode for the stamps are there. You can buy and print your own legal postage right from your computer and printer. But it also does packages because it does any kind of mail. It'll even help you choose the kind of mail. When you get the USB scale, you plop the thing on there. You never have to worry about – here's Carly with our stamps. This is the kit you get at stamps.com. I'll tell you how you get this for free in a second. So it comes with a USB scale. Then it will say, oh, you know, is that a book? Because you could go media mail. It'd be a lot cheaper. It'll print out the mailing thing. It even fills out forms. So if you're sending certified, it will fill out the form from the website. So if somebody buys something on your Etsy site, it takes the information, fills out the forms, even email your buyer with the you know, the delivery information. It'll fill out return receipts, even international customs forms, all done automatically with stamps.com. You'll save time. You'll save money. You get discounts you can't get at the post office, like discounted package insurance with one click of the mouse. It imports addresses from all the popular PC address books, uses cost codes to track postage spending by customer, get automatic address verification. The Postal Service loves stamps.com. You will too. And you never, ever have to even bring your package to the post office because they just come and get it. Stamps.com. So here's what you do. Go to stamps.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see a microphone. It says, what does it say? Heard us on the radio or podcast? Click here. Yes, you did. You heard it on Twit, right? So write TWIT in the offer code, TWIT. Click go. You're going to get a $110 bonus offer, $55 worth of free postage. You get the scale. Now, you do pay shipping and handling on the scale. It's about $5, but they're going to give you an activity kit and a bunch of stuff to make up for that. And, of course, a free trial of Stamps.com for a month. And the scale is yours to keep no matter what. Stamps.com. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the offer code TWIT. $110 bonus offer waiting for you at Stamps.com. So we use it. Everybody should use it. If you're using the mails to send, you know, fulfill stuff, stamps.com is a way to do it.
The chat room is still naming foods that start with the letter N.
What is the oh, it's called Biscoff.
Biscotti?
No, they grind up cookies and they make a peanut butter out of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
But that's not with an N.
No.
it's so good. Vanilla, it's called Biscoff, I think. Vanilla wafers. But these are. See, I wonder if they'll do the brand names again. I think that the Kit Kat kind of was
For N, what else do you have? You have nougat, you have nutter
nutmeg,
butter, you have Nutella. Yeah.
What if they just went with the N for Android?
Android? Nutmeg would be okay. It's better than nut roll.
Everything's better than nut roll.
Hey, man, you got your nut roll? Did you get your nut roll upgrade yet? Necco wafers.
No, man, I'm still rocking the marshmallow.
Marshmallow.
I mean, there's like Neapolitan ice cream, but that's kind of
Neapolitan. You
know, yeah. Neapolitan. It's like,
oh, they already did ice cream anyway. Amazon's going to do an air cargo service. It was just a matter of time. Poor UPS. You know, it's got to figure they're like the number one user of UPS. Facebook is. This is a good use of artificial intelligence. They've created a bot to pick up slang before it's popular, so they'll know ahead of you. They actually have a patent for a social glossary technology that detects slang, acronyms, and other neologisms so that, what, they're ready for it? I don't know.
Maybe so they can help you make words uncool faster?
I think so that they understand what you're talking about if you're a teenager so they can serve you with the proper ads.
That actually makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to understand the language of the youth, of the ute. I think we... Oh, this one's driving me crazy. I want to know what you guys think. So we're hearing a lot of people say that they are now being automatically upgraded from Windows 7 and 8.1 to Windows 10, like without permission. We've said for a while, watch out, because first of all, they put that really annoying ad on Windows 7. All you know, you're ready. You can understand. You want. Okay, that was bad. But then they moved the Windows 10 upgrade to recommended in the update process, which means for a lot of people, if you have, I think it's even the default in Windows, recommended updates are automatically applied. But even then, it would download Windows 10. That's annoying enough. And then put up a thing saying, I'm ready. You're ready to go? And you would still have to say yes.
Yeah.
Except I'm hearing more and more from people who say, no, it just, I woke up one morning and I was using Windows 10. That's wrong.
That's terrible.
And now they've done even another bad thing. This is from Woody Leonard on InfoWorld. They just pushed out a patch Tuesday. On Tuesday, KB3139929. It's a security patch for Internet Explorer. And it says, this security update resolves several reported vulnerabilities in IE, the most severe of which could allow remote code execution. Yikes, that's bad. Got to patch that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dot, dot, dot. Additionally, this security update includes several non-security-related fixes for Internet Explorer. Well, you know what it does? It says, this update adds functionality to IE 11 on some computers that lets users learn about Windows 10 or start an upgrade to Windows 10 Now what you'll get is a blue banner when you open a new tab in IE saying Microsoft recommends upgrading to Windows 10. Now, here's the worst part. This is a critical update. You have to take it, and you can't separate out the blue banner. You're going to get it.
Kind of reminds you when Chrome tells you to upgrade Chrome, although you're using Chrome, so you might want to know that versus...
What Chrome and Firefox do, and I think IE does it now, is they automatically upgrade, and then it will say, okay, restart.
Yeah, but if you
that's appropriate, because that's security.
But if you don't have the automatic upgrades set up,
you can turn that off.
It'll send you a little banner that says...
As it should.
Upgrade. Yeah.
Upgrading your browser is important. Upgrading your whole operating system...
It's a whole different level.
It's another thing.
People should just stop using Internet Explorer.
Why are they still doing that?
Just use something else. Firefox or Chrome or...
All right, we're going to wrap things up with, yes, one more hazard to virtual reality. Hard lesson leaning on virtual desks. This poor kid is using a Vive. He knows there's a desk. You can see behind him on the video. He's trying to touch the desk. Well, that's cute. He's wandering around. Oh, no. He falls right over. Because there isn't a desk. It just looks like a desk. So here's our public service announcement. Do not lean on virtual desks. You'll fall over every time. Watch this. Oh, no. No. No.
That's mean.
That's just mean.
That's mean, but let's watch it one more time.
You shouldn't. That's mean. 1.5 million views in 6 days. Somebody's watching this. That's just mean, the poor kid. Okay, one more time.
One more.
People watching at home.
Watch I think out. He's going to get it this time. He's all,
That's like you falling on that Casper mattress. It's just
it is. It's relaxing. It's too bad he didn't have a Casper mattress. He would have felt much better. Anything else? I want to make sure we didn't miss anything.
I'm excited for virtual reality.
I am too. I ordered a Vive last week, and I have an Oculus Rift on order.
Do you have a gaming PC for both?
Guess what? We're building a $5,000 ultimate VR gaming machine on the new screensavers. Every Saturday, we add another component. We added the RAM yesterday. It's an Intel-based motherboard, beautiful motherboard. I love the motherboard from Asus. We've got Asus Strix graphics card in there. Mm-hmm. We maxed that out. We're going to have the hard drive still to come. We've got a beautiful case with a window. It all lights up. Water cooled. It's going to be a very nice system, and then we'll just be waiting for
this. What about the PlayStation VR? I have a PlayStation 4. Mark has a PlayStation 4. I could see myself buying one of those. I don't know if I want to buy a PC specifically.
Yeah, you kind of have to, don't you? I mean, I looked at all my machines.
Computer.
You know, it was funny when Palmer Luckey, the founder of Oculus, was asked, why don't you do Oculus Rift for a Macintosh? He said, we'll do that as soon as Apple doesn't make a crappy computer.
I really love that response. I don't totally agree with it, but I just think it was so ballsy.
No Apple computer on the market today has enough graphics card to
Very
support.
Few computers on the market
well,
today.
Well, that's the problem.
I think it's something like 13 million computers in the world by the end of this year.
I mean, honestly,
we'll have support for it.
If the PlayStation 4 can support, I've tried Rift. I've tried
the Sony's supposed to be pretty good too.
It's outstanding. Yeah. It's fantastic.
What games are going to have? They said what games are going to be on the PS4?
It's just all demos so far.
It's all demos. Key Valkyrie.
So yeah.
Yeah,
but if they can get a solid lineup, I mean, Sony's the dark horse. There are more PlayStations installed in people's homes than there are computers capable of playing Oculus. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And how much is it?
They haven't said how much it's going to be, but...
But they have an event on Tuesday.
They do.
Tuesday, we'll find out.
Hopefully. I hope. But if they could come in like $400, I mean, they might have to sell it under cost, but... If they can do that, that could be really awesome, especially considering what Oculus Rift is $600 and then
Vive is $700.
Or $800.
Yeah. So we'll be at GDC. That's where they're going to do this announcement, Developers Conference in San Francisco, where you have coverage, live coverage. Actually, OMG Chad Johnson will be joining Robert Ballasaire. I think it's Wednesday our coverage is of the GDC.
Yeah.
That's going to be very interesting to see what Sony announces. I hadn't really... consider that, but you're right, they're the dark horse. They could really, because they could own it, because a lot of people have PS4,
and especially at E3 coming up, I mean,
You know what game I want?
Have this.
I want No Man's Sky.
I want No Man's Sky.
VR. Yeah, it's
really
yes.
Cool.
VR.
Yes, yes.
19 billion planets, and you can go there and walk around in VR.
I've been waiting for that game for, what, 2 years now?
19 billion planets you could throw up on.
It's an indie studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be an incredible game, I think. And VR would just be insane.
It feels like it's got to be a VR title. They haven't said that yet.
There's that space VR game, Valkyrie. Oculus.
And that makes sense. Scary. Oculus is showing that one.
It's great.
Is it? Because you're in a cockpit.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits. You can't move around, which is one of the problems with the VR is you saw it, that kid walking and falling over. You want to force people to sit down and just look around like this.
Yeah.
It does very well with that. And so that's what you're in. You're a Valkyrie cockpit, and you take off. But I think No Man's Sky is the one. I keep talking about that.
I mean, video games take place in 360-degree worlds anyways. You just, move the viewpoint with your joystick. So it doesn't seem like it should be that technically impossible or difficult.
That's what I feel like.
To make a video game, a 360-degree version, right?
You're already creating that environment.
In real time.
You got all the voxels, so...
It's a lot easier, I think, for games than it is for movies, for example, which, Spielberg and some others are experimenting with ways to do that, but it's a complicated question. Also, the reason the director is there is to show you what to watch.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be like, oh, Jurassic Park, you're looking the other way from the T-Rex.
Oh, what happened over there?
I played a early version of this last year.
No Man's Sky?
And it was awesome. It was really, really great. It was beautiful.
This is a fractally generated universe. Mm-hmm. It's unique. So you see it, and it's just unique. But there are other people. It's an MMORPG, right?
Yeah,
there are other people in it, but the chances of you meeting them are minimal because there's so many worlds, billions.
I would think, though, when this game comes out, they'd have some sort of online component so you could find your friends and do things together, right? I mean, solo play, you might just be anywhere, but maybe...
And all these planets are different, so you're landing on a planet in this video, and all these... you've discovered a Kaya.
You discover, you get to name it, and you can discover creatures.
Oh, this is an ice planet, so I'm very intrigued by these ice planets. You can't stay outside too long because you'll freeze. Some of them are inhabited. Some of them are not, but all of them have sentinels that will get you if you do bad things. I think this begs to be a VR title because you're really in this immersive world.
Yeah, I'm excited about this game.
Yeah. I don't even know if it is a game. Is it a game or is it an experience? Is it life?
Yeah, it's not about, because is there a story and you shoot things?
If there's a story, they haven't talked about what that story would be so far. But yeah, you can shoot. So the example you brought up of the Sentinels doing bad things, there was one plan I went on, and just to see what would happen, terrible, I shot a bunch of animals.
Don't shoot
animals,
the animals.
And the Sentinels came out, and then they're trying to
they try to kill you. And the thing is, if you kill the Sentinels, they get stronger and stronger, and there's more and more, and then there's big, walkers that come after you. And I think the best thing to do if you shoot an animal is get off that planet right away. It could be Spore. Remember Spore, how excited we were about Spore, how we thought this was going to be? It was from a great guy and a great team and Maxis, and it was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This could be that. Or.
But you played it. You said it's cool.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was also just like one level. It was just flying through space, arriving at one planet.
The thing with Spore is I don't think anybody got to play it before it came out. There was like a veil of secrecy.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And Will Wright was talking about how it's going to be like the game to end all game. It was like sort of that guy Peter Molyneux who does Fable and Black and White, who just like oversold the game before it came out. I think Will Wright has learned his lesson.
Here is the VR roller coaster at Six Flags.
I don't understand.
Are you an actual roller coaster, but you're also wearing Oculus? You're wearing the Gear VR at the same time?
Virtual reality roller coaster in the...
So I've got it queued up here somewhere where you're not. Yeah.
It is, actually.
Go ahead. Fire away, Jason.
How's yours?
This is our first time riding. Let's hope it's good.
So yeah. That's awesome.
Let's put it on. And what do I see here?
Oh, whoa.
Leo, stop yours.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So you're... You're in. You're on an actual roller coaster, but it looks like you're in a horrific dystopian future with evil monsters. So, boy, that's got to be scary because you really are moving. I mean, I've been in the VR rides like the Simpsons ride at Universal Studios, where you're never really going anywhere. You're just being shaken around. But this one,
like
you're
Star both, Tours. Yeah,
this is man. This is, if these kids throw up, I'm not going to be happy.
There you go.
Are they going to throw up?
No. If they don't throw up, I won't be happy.
They look like they will. I mean, I would.
Yeah,
this looks horrible.
But it maps out the movement of the roller coaster, so the
graphics look like Wolfenstein 3D or something.
Well, that's the problem. You can't do.
They're not great.
Or it's playing on a.
And I mean, how many G's and go arounds can that headset take without that phone flying off and like?
Well, the good news is the headsets are cheap.
And they put a chin strap on them too. $100.
Yeah. What do they provide the phone? Or are you supposed to provide your own phone?
No, that's Six Flags.
Six Flags has a phone.
And they provide, like, so the chin strap.
And then the really weird thing is they get off the roller coaster and Mark Zuckerberg is sitting next to them the whole time. That's the
eating thing. A hot dog pizza.
Eating a hot dog pizza. And they go, oh, wow, man. He didn't throw up. I'm disappointed. Well, I'm not really. Okay. There you go.
Regular roller coasters are pretty great anyways.
I think we should end every tweet with a game segment. It's a good way to wrap it up.
I like games.
Now that I got the millennials here.
Do you have a PS4, Leo?
I think you got to do VR instead.
I don't. Mm. And you know what I'm thinking I should get a PS4 for? There's something coming out I really want. It's only on PC and via. I have an Xbox One.
Oh, okay. What game? Because we're talking about getting Division. That's like the next one.
The Division's solid, yeah. That's a good game.
I'm not a big first-person shooter. I kind of like... I was playing a wonderful game, which I don't think you guys have, called Unravel. We were talking about that yesterday, where you're a ball.
Yeah.
Actually, when I say this, it doesn't sound good. You're a ball of yarn, and you're rolling around.
Is it kind of like Katamari Damacy, that game that was big on PlayStation like a decade ago?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is it a game or is it an experience?
Or an experience. Yeah. No, I should get a PS4, shouldn't I?
I mean, yeah.
I have a PS3. There it is. This is Unravel.
It's time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this is actually a great game. Is it on a PS4
too? It's on Xbox One? I don't know.
It's Xbox One. I think it might only be Xbox One.
It's
so
beautiful.
I have Xbox One, but I don't play it that much. The yarn can be
hidden or I have a PS3. I could be talked into a PS4.
Well, if you get one, let us know. We can trade gamer tags.
Okay, dude. Oh, you can drown in this.
You're like a little yarn character.
You're like a little yarn ball.
Yeah.
And you have to get more yarn. Because you run out of yarn as you go.
It kind of reminds me of Limbo. Do you remember that game Limbo? I love that game.
This is it's a platform puzzle game.
Yeah.
Kind of like Yoshi's Story.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's not what I like is you're not killing anything.
And the graphics are amazing, though.
Yeah. It's really very immersive. This would be fun to do in VR as well. But it's really puzzler is what it really is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it looks like it's... kind of mimicking real world physics, kind
right.
of like Little Big Planet was doing.
Yeah, I loved Little Big Planet.
Materials.
Now, there was a good Sony game.
Big Planet.
It was awesome.
It was great.
I played that like crazy.
Cool.
All right. That's our gaming segment. Hope you enjoyed it.
But we don't know if that's on PS4. I guess we can that, right?
You know, there is a thing.
PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Windows.
There you go. It's on everything.
Maybe I'll check that out.
Be a ball of yarn for Christmas. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's fun. I love having you guys on. You get me in touch with the young, the youth of the world.
The youths.
Mark Millian, Bloomberg Business Week. Good to have you. Nathan Olivares-Giles from Wall Street Journal. What's your beat on the Wall Street Journal? Tech, right?
Yeah, consumer tech.
But you got now this new guy, Jeffrey Fowler, took over. Is he good? You like him?
So Jeffrey Fowler.
What's he do?
We have Joanna Stern. They're both.
I love Joanna,
consumer
too.
Consumer tech columnists.
Yeah.
And then I...
And you take whatever's left over? The crumbs?
We basically break a pool cue in three and fight to death
whoever lives.
I cover a mixture of news and I do some reviews as well. So we're on the same personal tech team. Yep.
It's a great team.
Yeah.
I have to say you guys have done a great job. I read it religiously.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on, Nate. Mark? Thanks to David Pogue, who had to leave us a little early, but it was always good to have him on, too. I'm glad to see him again. Didn't really ask him the tough question. Kind of did.
What is Yahoo?
What's going on with Yahoo? I didn't want to put him on the spot.
That was kind of you.
Yeah. Well, I figured this way I get an Apple invitation or something. I don't know. It doesn't work that way, does it?
Or those Hamilton tickets.
You got those.
No, I got those, and he can't have them. Thanks to everybody who joined us. We do the show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. New time because we've set the clocks forward. We didn't talk about DST. What a horrible thing that is. Daylight saving time.
We were actually talking about that on the drive
down. Yeah, I'm tired right now.
I just try to have no one tell me my clock's set automatically. I don't want to know.
But you can't help but know, right?
And then there's like, hey, we lost an hour.
I want to give a plug to StopDST.com. Every year we do, every time this happens, twice a year, everybody gets all head up for a day.
It's terrible.
Let's stop it. Let's end it. Let's write a law. But this time, let's really do it. And by the way, the impact of daylight saving time, 17% rise in fatal traffic accidents on the Monday following the switch to daylight savings time. 9 million. Now, they did a study in Indiana. Indiana, kind of, some of it's daylight saving time, some of it's not. They did a study in Indiana. This doesn't save energy. It costs them an extra $9 million in energy. This is why we did it in 1918, to save energy. It doesn't save energy. It's for the farmers, you might say. No, farmers don't care. They have electric lights now. Yeah. They don't care. This is acting as if we haven't changed how we consume energy since 1918. 68% increase in days lost due to workplace injury on the Monday following tomorrow. Please, folks, take care tomorrow.
So you're saying it's a good day to call in sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also a good day to have a heart attack. A 25% increase in heart attack risk because of lost sleep. Who uses energy like it's still 1918? The hashtag StopDST. Let's write our members of Congress. It's actually a state-by-state thing. So write your local state representatives. Maybe we can stop it here. And there's no DST in Arizona, right?
No.
And you love it, Evan, right? Yeah. But the Navajo reservations, for some reason, observe it. But let's leave time alone, shall we? I think it's time. StopDST.com. That's my public service announcement. So because of that, we are now at a new time. It's so complicated. We are still at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. But because UTC doesn't observe DST, we're at a new time UTC. And I have to do the math. We are at 2200 UTC. If you want to watch live, do the math. You can also be in studio. We had a great studio audience. For some reason, many of them stood the whole time. I don't really understand that. Or are you on sitting on high stools? Oh, you're on stools. Okay. you don't have to stand in the back. We got chairs in front. If you want to be here, tickets at twit.tv. We'll be glad to host you. We love having groups in here. So a lot of fun for us to have a live audience. And, of course, you can always watch on demand. Twit.tv is the website. We put all our shows up there, audio and video, and, of course, your favorite podcast.
You even got a couple of Apple TV apps that I
watched.
Yeah, I was surprised.
We didn't write any of those. We have apps we're working on, but really all the apps that you see right now on Android, iOS, Windows Phone, Apple TV, Roku, those are fan written, and I'm really grateful. Thank you, all of you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can. Bye-bye. Yay.